hasn't the federal government stepped up and worked more? Because, listen, Bobby, I can't prove it tonight. You can't prove it. But intuitively, you look at the spike, you look at what happened with the Marisol, there is no doubt in my mind. Maybe it's 2 years from now. Maybe it's 5 years from now. Maybe it's 10 years from now. We're going to find out that the Marisol causes, in my opinion, autism.
You know what? Hi, I'm Robert F. Kennedy, Jr., your HHS secretary. I'm happy to report that last week we closed the final chapter in the long history of thimerosal in the United States.
HHS Secretary RFK Jr. has suspended the Biden era program that fired medical workers that wouldn't take poison shots around the country. Basically told the hospitals to do it. Hundreds of thousands were fired. And more importantly, banned the mercury-based substance, thimerosal, in all vaccines.
Thimerosal, of course, is a mercury-based vaccine preservative. Its main component, ethyl mercury, is a known and very potent neurotoxin. Until we withdrew the recommendation last week, flu shots containing thimerosal, astonishingly, were still being administered to millions of Americans, including pregnant women and children. In early 2001, the director of the FDA Office of Vaccine Research and Review, late William Egan, admitted under oath before Congress that thimerosal safety had never been studied in human beings.
Mr. Egan, has thimerosal ever been tested by our health agencies?
It's been only in that there were those early tests that you know of that were done by Lilly.
And when was that test done? That was done in 1929.
Yes. And
Let's follow up on that. In 1929, they tested this on 27 people that were dying of meningitis. All of those people died of meningitis, and so they said there was no correlation between their death and the mercury in the vaccines. That is the only test that's ever been done on thimerosal that I know of. Can you think of any other?
No, in people, no.
Okay.
Except for accidental exposures over.
Okay, so we have mercury that's being put into people's bodies in the form of this preservative and has been since the 30s, and it's never been tested by our health agencies. And yet you folks come here and you testify that there's no conclusive evidence, and the IOM says they favor, get this, they don't say they're sure, they say they favor rejection of a causal relationship between mercury and autism and other neurological disorders.
Further, CDC has no existing guidelines for safe exposures to ethyl mercury. It is therefore inexcusable that these agencies allowed neurotoxic mercury to be injected into Americans for so long. A quick search of the National Library of Medicine's PubMed and PubChem websites nets thousands of studies on search terms such as mercury neurotoxicity, mercury in development, and mercury in the brain. Hundreds of them identify thimerosal as a potent neurotoxin, a carcinogen, a mutagen, and an endocrine disruptor.
Dr. Makary says NIH brewed up virus that killed 20 million people worldwide, but what he's talking about is how they're still trying to send funding into it. And so, yeah, Trump's cut a lot of this funding, all of it needs to be cut.
The FDA is strong, and it's going to continue to be strong. The cuts were consolidations. There was no layoffs to scientific reviewers or inspectors at the FDA. Mm-hmm. There was consolidation of the 12 travel offices at the FDA. And so we're going to institute teamwork and break up the fiefdom culture within the agency.
It's an interesting conversation.
And they've already done that. I mean, they've already fired in all three of those agencies, all of the boards.
RFK Jr. doing great work, continuing to help make America healthy again. War Room starts on the other side of this break.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning. Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves. Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, August 6, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet. Starts now. And I already had a bunch of news in a geopolitical stack dealing with some developments in Israel, but I think really more pertinently, the fact that you have a massive group of AIPAC congressmen in Israel right now while they're on recess. And you had Mike Johnson who promised, oh no, when we're on recess, we're going to keep up the work and I'm going to be in my district talking to my constituents and we're going to help Trump get the recess appointments. And then what happened? Thune and Johnson organized a plan to stop Trump from doing recess appointments. He's had zero. Presidents usually get dozens or hundreds of recess appointments. Trump gets zero, thanks to Thune and Johnson. MAGA, baby. That's who Trump's riding with, by the way. But not only that, Mike Johnson, of course, goes to Israel. But maybe we just misinterpreted it when Mike Johnson said, well, I'm going to be in my home district during the recess. Well, maybe his home district is Israel, actually. Maybe that's all these congressmen and women's home district is in Israel. Maybe that's what he meant. So we'll look at that and then some of the other developments that we have on that situation. But it's just embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. And, you know, maybe it would be one thing if it was calmer times around this subject and it was calmer times in the Middle East. But right now you're doing this when Israel is less popular than ever, when the situation in Gaza is now being fully revealed as it's just outright evil. And again, today, I will choose not to air it, but these are journalists that are on the ground. You can verify it. They're reporting from Gaza every day. And it's just some of the sickest footage you've ever seen. At a food aid truck delivery stop, and it's just dead bodies bleeding out, shot by the IDF. Now, they claim it's the IDF. Now, I wouldn't doubt that Hamas is up to shenanigans with the aid as well. But both of these groups are obviously at war. And it's just despicable. But what's going on to the Gazan people is just completely unbelievable at this point. But yeah, Hamas is like, we're taking the aid. We're here fighting the enemy. We're here fighting the people that just destroyed your city and are about to take your land. We're here fighting the enemy that set us up. Literally. So yeah, we're going to feed the people that are actually fighting the evil and fighting the war, and they don't care about the rest. So I don't doubt that Hamas is engaged in stuff like that. But I don't have the footage of Hamas just sitting there like it's a game at the food aid centers and just shooting people. Hamas gets in there and takes it back to wherever they are hiding. It's like the IDF gets there and sits up there like it's a video game laughing and is like, oh, let's just shoot a couple people. So I'm not going to show the footage, but it's just like, you know,
it'd be one thing, okay, whatever, Israel, greatest ally, it's not going to last much longer, but fine, okay, we're supposed to buy it. They all go over there, do the wall act, everything else, go meet with Netanyahu again. But it's like right now, the timing, you know, people are upset with what's going on in Congress. Trump's approval rating is going down. We're not getting much done here on the America First agenda that we want. But it's, hey, our priorities are in a foreign country. Our priorities are in Israel. So bye-bye, suckers. That's where we're going. But hey, there's no Israeli influence. It's all Qatar is what I'm told. So what am I doing? It's weird. Oh, and by the way, it appears that the Times of Israel agrees with me that Donald Trump and this whole Epstein drip, drip, drip thing is Israel doing it to bait him into a war with Iran. And again, I just think it's the most logical conclusion. So it's like, yeah, I'm upset at the way Trump has handled the Epstein files, but with my own logic, I say at the same time, it's also he's rejecting a larger war in Iran, and the drip, 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 he's just letting it happen. So it could have been handled better, and who knows what we end up getting with the Epstein files. It'll be a disaster if Maxwell walks and we get nothing. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely, whoever's got the Trump file, and it's not the Democrats, whoever has the Trump file is trying to get him to do something and saying, hey, we're just going to keep the drips then. And he's obviously saying, fine, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm not going to do a larger war in Iran. I'm not going to do an outright blessing of what Israel is doing in Gaza. I've got to at least try to appear neutral on what's happening to the people there. And nope. The Times of Israel is like, yeah, this is definitely Israel with the Epstein files trying to blackmail Trump into war. So we'll have that coming up too. And then I guess there's a Maxwell development as a, it's kind of like they try to keep it on the hush-hush. And President Trump is like, well, I knew nothing of the deal that Todd Blanche cut. I don't know. I doubt that. I don't really think it's that big of an issue. Whether he knew or not, I'd say I'd be surprised if he didn't know about that. But I guess there's a potential he didn't. But it looks like, now Maxwell says, okay, yeah, Trump didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't a predator. All right, well, we already landed on that conclusion. So does that mean, because obviously she's trying to get out. She doesn't want to spend another 10 years or whatever it is in that Fed camp, even though it is basically like a high school, like high school cafeteria, gym, lounge, you know. Very low security, if any at all. Hell, better than most people in major metropolitan areas probably live. Top Trump officials will discuss Epstein strategy at Wednesday dinner hosted by Vance. Yeah, well, there were supposed to be some announcements from the White House this afternoon. I don't know what's going to come of that. Trump and the White House did announce that they are open to or perhaps even seeking negotiations with Putin right now on what's happening with the war in Ukraine and the kind of political fallout that they've had in the last couple of months, which is good. Those two need to sit down. That's the most important meeting. And it's like, you know, we can sit here and talk about the Israel issue all day long. It will be talked about all day long, but I mean, that's a simple fix. That's just like, hey, we just got to get out of there. Just got to get a divorce with Israel. We just got to decouple from the Middle East. Let them figure it out. We're done. We've been there for decades and nothing good has come of it. Certainly hasn't benefited us, at least that we know of. There's, you know, oil deals and resource deals and mineral deals and who knows what else really went on. But as far as we know, as far as what we're supposed to believe surface value, it's been of no benefit to the United States. None. Now, I'm sure there's secret stuff that happens that, you know, we're getting something out of it. But for the public consumption, it looks bad. But no, bigger picture, an American relationship with Israel, not really a big deal, probably a net negative, unless you want to support the military-industrial complex, which is where they always go. Oh, but look, Israel buys all the weapons. Oh, okay, so you like the military-industrial complex. Oh, but, oh, they share intelligence. Oh, you mean Israel spies on us. You like getting spied on. No, for a bigger geopolitical impact, the United States and Russia should be top allies. That's what would really benefit the world. That's what would really benefit both countries. That's what could really, I think, keep the U.S. dollar strong. And then some of the other countries will kind of fall in line and say, okay, well, we can now make oil deals and trade deals and we'll keep the U.S. dollar strong. But, oh, you start to really get into bed with Israel and just refuse to go anywhere else. All of a sudden, Russia and the BRICS countries are going to say, U.S. dollar? Over her. Not really interested anymore. So I'll get deeper into that. Now, I'll have a little update on some of the drama here in Texas. It's a familiar story with Republicans at the end of the day. It's pretty much the same story, whether it's Republicans in Texas, whether it's Republicans in D.C. Like to talk a big game, but can't seem to get the ball into the goal, if they're even trying. Still a big fat goose egg on the board, if you catch my drift. Plenty of opportunities to score points, plenty of opportunities to slam dunk it, but they prefer 0 points on the board. So that's just the Republican Party in a nutshell. And if you recall, because people kept blowing me up about this, and I said, look, it's not my story, it's not my scoop. But if you recall, it was probably a week or two ago, maybe a month now, I don't know, time is like a blur. And I said, there's about to be a big story that's going to drop on a popular Republican congressman. And I tied it into some other story that I teased and then came out. Well, now the story's dropped. And you may have seen it today. It's not really getting much play, but I think that's because the real big story hasn't really dropped yet. So you can look at what's coming out right now, and it's like, oh, this doesn't look good for the individual. But if this story gets to the next level, then it's going to start to implicate some other things that go on in D.C. You know, the stuff that Madison Cawthorn talked about, that type of stuff. Yeah. So that tease that I did a couple weeks ago, we have a delivery today. We can deliver the news for you today. But it's not even the full story yet. And the people that are involved now are like, okay, how much farther do we want to go? Can we do enough reputational damage to this guy or whatever their goal is? Or do we need to keep pressing forward? Because you look at the individual who's implicated here, seems he's not intimidated at all by this, which is pretty strange. But that's just Washington, D.C., you know? That's just Washington, D.C. for you. And then we do have some other healthcare news. We just heard from RFK Jr. We've got some other healthcare news. Dealing with health insurance, dealing with this deal that's happening in California, specifically Los Angeles, it is truly wild. And it's almost like I want to open up the phones and try to take some calls from Los Angeles. When these deportations started, because this is like a river that goes into like a bunch of different areas. It's, water feeds into all these different areas with this river. And that's the illegal immigration and the deportations. So they start mass deportations, and all of a sudden traffic in Los Angeles, which is like a nightmare. Anybody that's tried to drive in Los Angeles knows what a nightmare it is. And then all the deportations happen, and traffic is just gone. Like, what the hell? People haven't seen this in decades. Open highways. They're like, is this the Twilight Zone? Did the rapture happen? What? Green on the map? I haven't seen green in... Green? I didn't even know that was a color that existed on the traffic map. What? Now, you have these doctors, you have these nurses, and they're reporting, they're saying, hospitals are empty. Nobody's in the hospitals. Now, you got a bunch of libtards, and they're like, oh, people are afraid to go to the hospital because of Donald Trump. Well, okay, so they're afraid to go to the hospital because they're an illegal and a non-citizen? Or they're not going to the hospital anymore because they've been deported? So really, even from the libtard angle, it still goes to the same result, which is Los Angeles was filled with so many illegal aliens. Once they're all gone, or I guess all in hiding, whatever it is, there's no traffic. You can get into a hospital and not have to wait 10 days. Whoa. I mean, imagine that. America for Americans? Wow. How do you like that? Would you, as an American, like to use your highways and not have to sit in traffic? What a noble concept. Would you, as an American, like your hospitals not to be overwhelmed by a bunch of illegal aliens who are getting free health care, by the way, in California? And now you can actually go in there and get in rather quickly. You go in with a broken arm, a busted head. It's like, oh, we've 8 hours. Now you can get in, maybe get to a surgeon in an hour or two. And an American, you get to actually, unbelievable, Americans having a better experience with American infrastructure. All because there were tens of millions of illegal aliens here. And so it's like one of those things. It's like a person losing, it's like an obese person losing like 100 pounds overnight and not even knowing. It's like, whoa, this is what it's like to be thin and lightweight? Wow. And then all the other stuff that follows from that is like, yeah, okay, you can do new things now. Wow. So we'll get into that. And then I want to tie in something I've been talking about here with the youth and why they like communism, that I older generations just can't understand it, and I've tried to communicate it. I think I've got another way of communicating this today with a young girl who has graduated, and I guess she's just, you know, she's just looking at the college loan that she's signed on to now and actually looking at the numbers and crunching them, and she's like, oh my God, what the hell has happened? And then she looks at the housing market, she's nowhere near that. She looks at the car market, she's like, okay, gotta have a huge payment on that. And then they look at the situation with when you do the minimum payments, how basically you're not even really paying off it. It's increasing. So again, I'm not promoting communism. I never would, but we live in a society here, and you have to listen to people's problems and you have to understand their problems, and you may have a different approach to a solution, but you can't ignore the problem. So yeah, I'm of the same belief system that, hey, communism is not the answer. I'm of the same belief system that, no, I don't believe we should have student loan forgiveness. And yeah, you sign a stupid loan contract, that's on you. And sure, we can point out how they get pressured into it by the schools, and they get pressured into it and indoctrinated into it, like, oh, this is the only way, which now it's kind of the opposite, quite frankly, unless you want to be an engineer or a doctor or something. But I want to kind of juxtapose it where it's like the realization for this girl, it's like, oh my God, you're supposed to, because the concept is you get out of college and now you're running, right? Now you got a wide open track in front of you, and you're ready to sprint. But then you look down, you realize there's a 100-pound anvil tied to your ankle. It's called your student loan debt. And you can't run anywhere. So we'll talk about that and kind of tie it into this whole communist thing. But yeah, I mean, these younger Americans feel that America has abandoned them. I never felt that way. Maybe it's my upbringing. I don't know. Maybe it's just a personality thing. I never felt that way. I had to pay off six figures of college debt. It wasn't fun. I worked like 50, 60 hours a week in my early 20s. So yeah, it's not fun. But I'm saying I can relate to that. I have a different approach to it. I was never communist, but it's like I can see why people just give up on America and just say, I've been sold a lie. Who's looking out for me? I'm going to vote communist. I'm going to vote for student loan debt. And it's not like they make a big issue of this. I mean, the Biden administration pretended they were going to forgive student loan debt. They couldn't do it. It was all it was a normal Democrat election cycle campaign pitch. Vote for us, we'll give you free stuff. Vote for us, we'll give you free money. And it works. Why do you think Mom Donnie is top of the polls? Because it works. Because you have a bunch of disenfranchised Americans. They look at their debt. And then they look at the housing market. They look at the car market. They look at the price of groceries and everything else. Look at the price of an apartment. And they just say, what the? And they just give up on America. They feel America's given up on them, and they give up on America. And it's depressing to see. And then a lot of them probably work 10, 20 years even and finally get in the right side of it and no longer feel communist, no longer vote Democrat. But it's a real thing. Oh, but see, they're not addressing that. Nobody's making a big thing about that because didn't you hear there was a girl at Florida State that got into a verbal altercation with a guy in an IDF t-shirt. I mean, that's the big issue now. Literally, this is like the congressional issue. It's a federal issue. You're just like, okay. Okay. And then another one here that I talk about a lot. I think we've had, I don't know if it's Brian or Ed Krasenstein. They look the exact same. I've had them on before. For conversations and debates, but they just got back from Japan, or Brian just got back from Japan, and he's saying the things that I say. It's this realization factor of we don't have to live like this. There is absolutely no reason why America has to live like this. The homelessness, the crime, the decay, the collapsing infrastructure, the drug abuse. And I see right-wingers attacking him and whatever, it's fine. They do it to themselves. But no, you know, when you're right, you're right. And he's right. And he goes to Japan and he says, well, what the hell is going on? There's no homelessness. The streets are clean. The subways are on time. The subways are clean. There's no crime. I can let my kid run around in a major downtown area and I feel perfectly safe with it. It's like, this is not, why isn't it like this in America? So. We got all of that and more coming up. Kind of a long 30-minute intro today. We'll come back and start covering news. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? Just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the power plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called power plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts. You want to talk about power. You want to talk about strength. Talk about power plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Let's kind of get through some of these other headlines, and then I'll really lay into the geopolitical news in the second hour with some of these other big clips. But so this drops today, and I think there's a lot of developments here, and I'll kind of come back to this later with the Times of Israel story that's saying, yeah, Israel is dripping out the Epstein stuff to get Trump to get into a larger war. And he's withholding. But this hits the New York Post. Ghislaine Maxwell told DOJ Trump never did anything concerning around her. Now, I don't doubt that this is true. So two things can be true. Donald Trump likes beautiful women. Donald Trump hung out with Jeffrey Epstein. Okay. I don't think anybody's denying this. Well, except maybe Trump. I don't know. Next thing, Trump will come out and say, I never liked beautiful women. I don't know where people got this idea. It's another Democrat hoax, ladies and gentlemen. It's another Democrat. More fake news, okay? Never liked beautiful women. Don't like them. Nope, not interested. Never was. It's like, oh, okay. So, no, Trump liked beautiful women. Beautiful women liked Trump. And him and Epstein were friends. They hung out a lot. Okay, so that can be true, and that is true. And it can also be true that Trump never did anything illegal, never did anything with minors. And perhaps at the time, and I would say probably, I believe, didn't even know Epstein was doing anything illegal. And they probably just hung out at social events. And maybe Epstein was trying to get him to do financial deals to get him on the hook, and Trump didn't need to do it because he handles his own finances. And maybe Epstein was trying to get him with some of these, you know, younger girls, but Trump didn't need to do it. He's got his own women. So Epstein might have been there trying to Fandango that deal, but Trump never needed it. And then, as it's evidence, when Trump found out about what Epstein was up to and recruiting the girls at Mar-a-Lago, he shut him off and cooperated with the feds. And that was it. And then the timetable even aligns, because somehow now Epstein says, oh, Trump's the con man. So I guess if you're Epstein and you're running this operation at Mar-a-Lago, and I don't know, maybe you think you have Trump's blessing on it, and Trump shuts it down, he's like, oh, he stabbed me in the back. Oh, he's a con man. So it looks like that's what's going on. But, okay, Epstein is out of the picture now, dead, who knows, killed himself on an island somewhere in Israel, on Mars, whatever. So now it's the Maxwell deal. So obviously they're requesting a pardon. The DOJ, now I don't know. It would be hard for me to believe that Donald Trump has no involvement in these negotiations. Considering what a massive story this has been for months now, I'd be shocked if Trump really just handed over the whole thing to Todd Blanche and the DOJ. I mean, I'd be shocked if at least they weren't sending him a message and then saying, what do you think about this? Not that he's running the thing, but hey, let me know what you think about this in a message. But they're saying, Trump's saying, oh, I have nothing to do with it. So they are twisting Maxwell's arm, obviously, to get her to say, hey, Trump didn't do anything wrong, which I don't think is a lie, but she's obviously trying to use whatever leverage she has to get out and get a pardon. And of course, they're not, I mean, that would be a disaster to give Maxwell a pardon at this point. It would be an absolute disaster. So they try to find the middle ground and they say, hey, we're going to send you to the federal daycare over here. All right. Go play tennis. Go cook pasta. You know, go exercise. Go do your hair and just, all right. Better than the prison you're in. Okay. So just take this, say what we want you to say about Trump, and let's just, okay. That's what we can do. But there's obviously still a lot of jockeying going on back and forth. But you get the feeling that this deal is not yet done. Because, you know, Maxwell and her attorney can kind of twist the rudder on this thing anytime they want. And you know the media is going to take the bait. So it's kind of a very delicate situation now. And because it was handled so badly at the outset, it's going to be almost impossible to get trust back at this point. And so the only solution is full transparency, full declassification, and really try to just reset and just hit the reset button. And I think that Trump kind of gets caught up in his own ego. And you kind of saw it with the vaccines. And it's just like, no, the vaccines are good no matter what. I'm going to say they're good. I'm going to say Operation Warp Speed is good. We're going to celebrate. It's a victory. And it's just like he can't, it's like just won't let it go. When it's like, no, you got to just hit the reset button. Say you were duped about COVID. You were duped by Fauci. I mean, you got plenty of Fall Guys to blame it on. You were told we needed the vaccines to get the economy open or stop the spread. You believed these people. You thought they were trustworthy. You did it. I guess if you don't want to admit you made a mistake, maybe this is what's holding you up. But it's like, no, just hit the reset button and say, Fauci was a bad guy. They lied about everything. I did the vaccine deal to get the economy and stop the virus from spreading. That was my intent. I know that things got bad and it didn't go the way we wanted to, so Here's what happened. So it's like the same thing. Just come out and say, all right, we handled the Epstein deal badly. There were things in there that I didn't know were in there. And so we kind of just handled and botched the rollout. But, you know, we're going to fix this. We're going to make it right. The American people will understand that. And they'll be patient with that. But when you come out and you say, oh, Operation Warp Speed, the vaccines were great. Now you're insulting us. Oh, I didn't know Epstein. It was all a hoax. Now you're just insulting us. That's not going to work. But this is now the jockeying, and so they're going to try to get positive messaging out of Maxwell, but she's only going to give him so much until she gets what she wants, which is out of prison. But they can't. There's no way they can let her out. That would be way, way too obvious. So she's in the nice little federal daycare for now. And the Epstein thing is dying down a little bit, but it's going to come back in full force when you start to have these hearings. And, you know, stuff always leaks out. You know, something always leaks out. Somebody always drops a hint. Somebody always drops a viral cut. So when these things happen in a couple weeks, oh, well, yeah, people are going to know. What did Bill Clinton have to say? Trump says Bill Clinton has been on Epstein Island 28 times. Seems very confident in that number, by the way. Trump does. Of course, Bill Clinton is denying it. And then they come out with the footage. It's just more drip, drip, drip. And you've got Qatari leaders and Saudi Arabian leaders and Israeli leaders and Trump and all these people Epstein is in there with in the pictures. He's got cameras in every room. He's got weird coded art. It's like not as bad as the Podesta stuff, but, you know, it's something weird, some sort of hidden meaning there. And it's just like, wow, yeah, this was Epstein's job. So were all these people business partners with his financing firms? Were all these people clients that liked what Epstein had to offer at the island? What about the dollar bill signed by Bill Gates that says you were right? Remember the movie Trading Places? And the two guys bet a dollar? Great movie, Dan Aykroyd. Eddie Murphy, and they bet a dollar about, oh, can you make the homeless guy into a successful Wall Street broker? And they're just so rich that, oh, we just bet a dollar. Is it some weird deal like that? What was going on at Zorro Ranch? And it's almost like nobody wants to get into that. And I understand why. You talk about victims of sex crimes. You talk about sexual blackmail of world leaders. It's like, okay, that's the human interest story. Well, what about them cloning? What was going on in the cloning deal? Why is Bill Gates, did Bill Gates make some sort of a bet with Epstein? Was it about the cloning centers in Zorro Ranch? That's a whole nother angle to this that gets almost no attention. This was stuff they were doing for 20 years potentially. I mean, who knows what they were doing? But nobody's really asking about that. So, well, let's just see what happens when these hearings start to come down. And, you know, maybe I know Comer is aware of this stuff, but then it just becomes a matter of time. But, you know, maybe it's like, hey, do we start? Everybody knows about the island and everybody knows about the sex trafficking. So how do we now, okay, that's not going anywhere. But how do we build this? How do we build up a new phenomenon? How do we build up the new pressure and say, wait a second. I think it was New York Times or Washington Post. Some of them did a whole piece about it. How Epstein wanted to seed the world. And how they were running eugenics programs and they wanted to seed the world with their clones. Somebody's been to that ranch. Somebody heard about cloning. You know, there's a little bit of a story there, I'd say. But I'll tell you what. Let's put that aside for a second. And let's just look at some general stuff here. Let's look at some general stuff of issues all Americans deal with. It doesn't matter your skin color, your religious beliefs, your political alignment. Let's start with this. So this is an LA nurse talking about how the hospitals are empty. So just like the traffic disappears with the deportations, The hospitals were usually you're waiting hours on end to see a doctor. Now all of a sudden they're empty too. Is this all from the deportation? So this is one take from an LA nurse reporting on this in clip six.
Just got off my 12-hour shift at one of LA County's easiest hospitals and ERs. And you guys, our waiting room is just empty, like four patients max, like every hour. And as much as a healthcare worker enjoys a slow day, it's actually pretty scary. Like, I know that a lot of patients are just scared to seek medical care right now, and it's just really sad, the circumstances that we are in right now. And it just scares me for the results of this after, because a lot of patients are going to hold off to not seek medical care, and they're going to come back 10 times sicker. And I just want to urge anybody who has any family members who are experiencing any serious symptoms to encourage them to seek medical care. Hospitals are supposed to be safe spaces, and we are there to protect our patients and care for them regardless of who they are, where they are, and where they come from. So this is just a PSA. Please, please, please educate anybody who is scared to seek medical care to seek it if necessary, and don't wait.
So let's respond to all this here for a second. Now, obviously, she's probably a bleeding heart liberal based off of her, let's say, style of delivery here. But, you know, anybody that knows nurses knows they got big hearts. They really do care about people, whatever their political affiliation is. So I think she comes from a good place there. But aside from wherever her heart is at, a hospital is a safe place. Well, now hold on a second. If you go out and commit a crime and shoot somebody or stab somebody and you get shot or stabbed yourself in the process of committing a crime and you go to a hospital, yeah, you're going to get treated and you're going to be arrested. So that doesn't mean it's like a sanctuary for criminals to escape the law. So yeah, an illegal alien goes in there and needs medical care, you're going to treat them, but that doesn't mean they're above the law. Okay. But think about what she's saying here. Oh, well, the hospitals are empty because people are too scared to come in because they're all illegal aliens. Well, isn't that the problem? So maybe you're concerned. Maybe it's some bleeding heart leftist statement that you're trying to make. Maybe you're genuinely concerned about people's health. Maybe it's somewhere in between. But what you're saying is the city of Los Angeles is so inundated with illegal aliens that now that they're either all deported or scared to come out, the hospitals are wide open, the traffic is gone. I mean, it's kind of being on the wrong side of that issue. So what? You want the hospitals to be filled? You want Americans to not be able to get health care because it's filled with illegal aliens? You want Americans to sit in traffic hours a day because the streets are clogged up with illegal aliens? Is that what you're saying? Seems like that's what you're implying here. So, hey, you can have a big heart and want to take care of everybody, but nobody's above the law, am I right? So that is just an incredible thing to witness in Los Angeles. And so far, it hasn't changed. Traffic's still less than normal. That's a recent video, so the hospitals are still not filled like they normally are. And she knows it, too. Notice how she knows it? Oh, I know why the hospitals are empty, because all the illegal aliens are scared to come in. Well, they must not be that sick. And I guess that proves that Los Angeles is inundated with illegal aliens, which is not a good thing. So I know you have such a big heart, and that's nice, but just because you need health care doesn't mean you're above the law. All right? And I think this is something to be celebrated if I'm an American. If I'm living in Los Angeles, in fact, I'd be outraged. I'd be saying, you mean to tell me that the Los Angeles living experience has been so miserable because of non-citizens? That was it? My traffic headaches? My nightmares at the hospital was all because of illegal aliens? Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed about that, and I would not be shutting up about it if I lived in Los Angeles. So this gets into some other issues here. The economy is not good, folks. It's not. And that's not, people hear that and they're like, whoa, you're a panicking, you're anti-Trump. I'm not blaming Trump. 100% this is because of the Biden administration. Trump's big mistake was letting them shut down the economy and then the stimulus during COVID. That's the portion of this that he bears. But no, I'm not blaming Trump for this. But when he comes out and says the economy's great, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yes, and clap like a seal. No, it's not. People still can't afford to live in this country. People defaulting on their mortgages and car payments and credit card debt and student loans, higher than it's ever been. That's an unhealthy economy. That's a bad economy. And that's not even all Biden either. This is decades of bad economic policy and decisions. But so here's one woman complaining about her health care plan. And so, you know, this is why getting the economy going is so important. And really, this is a big issue. The Democrats don't want the economy good. The Democrats like a bad economy because then they can run on giving you free stuff. So the Democrats crash the economy and then they come in an election cycle and say, I know the economy's bad. So here's some free stuff. So listen to this lady talking about what happened with her health care plan in clip 7.
It's really unfair that I have to choose either having health care.
Nice dramatic effects here too.
Or a roof over my head. I got a letter today from Blue Shield Blue Cross, and my monthly premiums went up to $2,627 a month, 17 cents.
It's your Obamacare.
If I choose health insurance, I lose my house. If I choose my house, I lose my health insurance. Either way, I'm breaking the law.
All right. You get the point. Now, this is what happens when you take Americans' money from them via taxes. I guarantee you, if you cut this lady's taxes to 10% of what she's paying now, which is totally realistic to do, then she could probably afford her health insurance and her house payments. So that's the simplest solution, is just stop taking Americans' money, period. And you don't need to send billions to foreign countries. You don't need to send billions to Israel. You don't need to send billions to Ukraine. You don't need to spend all the foreign aid. You don't need to do it. Okay? So let's stop it. You don't need to spend hundreds of billions of dollars on all this military stuff. Oh, now we need the Golden Dome. Well, why? Maybe we should just stop getting involved in these wars. So here's another one though. This young girl gets out of college and realizes what's going on with her student debt, and it hits her so hard she gets a little emotional. And, you know, we know this about women. They get a little emotional. It's okay. All right. Let's be patient. But here she is expressing it in clip 17.
So as it turns out, the student loans that I've been paying $1,500 a month for 2 years have a 17% interest rate. So what I thought I've been paying off for all this time, I'm actually, like, I owe more than what I started off with. What the fuck? So, Jeff Bezos, this would be a really cool fucking time to Venmo me, bro. Like, I owe $90,000.
And all right, for the sake of time, I'm going to stop it right there. But you get the point. She talks about how she can't afford the anything but the minimum payment, but then she looks at it. That means her debt just keeps going up. Now, here's Marjorie Taylor Greene addressing this in clip 17.
You're seeing a pull away, and primarily people, I would say, anywhere ranging from 40 to 50 and under, and then drastically, especially under 30, because these are the people that are getting hit the hardest, and they're saying, we're never going to get to be able to buy a house. And it's not just interest rates are the reasons. It's the cost of housing and the availability. I mean, when you've got companies like Blackstone buying up all the houses and turning them into rental homes, and no one in Washington, D.C. is willing to do anything about it, well, you have 20 and 30-year-olds who are frankly pissed off, and rightfully so. And I'm their mom. And Eric, when it comes to my kids, there's nobody I'll fight harder for. And I hate the term mama bear because I don't really think of myself that way. I was never one of those helicopter moms. But I am fighting in Washington, D.C. to affect the policies and the direction of the Republican Party because I want it to serve my kids' generation. And I think that's the right thing that we should be doing.
Now, I can also tie this into the Krasenstein family, Brian Krasenstein getting back from Japan and saying how shocked he is at how nice it is there compared to America. This is an issue I've been talking about for a long time. Like Tucker Carlson goes to Russia. He's like, why is Russia nicer than America? What the hell is this? You can go to UAE, Qatar, all these different places. They don't have these problems. The third worldification of our metropolitan areas is not a shared problem in these other first world countries. And so you scratch your head. It's like, what's going on? Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, honestly, her political IQ right now is like top notch because she gets it. And this is why I was so frustrated, and I was talking about this yesterday, why I see these right wingers that are just becoming a-holes and they're just missing this opportunity. You know, the Democrat Party is reeling. They didn't deliver during the Biden years. They didn't deliver really with anything in the Obama years either. So you have a lot of disenfranchised liberals that are looking for something. But when Republicans come out and insult them and all this other stuff, then they're never going to come over. It's like, hey, hold on a second. Let's hear these people out. Doesn't mean we have to agree on things. Doesn't mean we have to agree on a solution, but it's like, this is a real problem. And these younger generation liberals even, they're looking for somebody that's going to address or hear their issues. Doesn't mean we have to go communist, but it's like, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep more money in your pocket. We're going to cut your taxes. You know what we're going to do? We're going to turn up American energy. We're going to cut regulations so that your cost of living goes down. We're going to give this one a try. Because, folks, these are real issues. These are real issues that young people are facing. And they look at the country and they say, this country has turned its back on me. So who's going to stand there for them?
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm really interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see, yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And excited to see how this is gonna work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of hopefully of what is the unlimited power.
What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue, USP grade, the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel, other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean, no jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll probably take a, you know, an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, you'll need to go to thealexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
Continue with this issue, but it's It's so many different issues that just kind of feed into the same main point, which is Americans have to realize they're going to have to unite for a common cause. And there's a huge void in American politics right now where nobody is filling it, which is saying, what is the common cause here? What is the unifying cause here? And the answer is our own cause. The answer is the cause of America. But instead, we have to deal with Ukraine, and we have to deal with Israel, and we have to deal with foreign aid all over the planet, and have to build golden domes and all of this other garbage. Meanwhile, the average American is like, I don't know how I'm going to afford to live. Meanwhile, the average American is going to their downtown major metropolitan areas and wondering if they can even get home safe. They don't care about what happens in Ukraine. They don't care about what happens in the Middle East. They're living day to day just trying to get by. And who is addressing their issues? Who is delivering for them? So yes, we need a unifying cause, and it's the American cause. And we need somebody to properly communicate this. But in order to properly communicate this, you have to understand this. You have to be willing to learn. You have to be willing to listen. And I see Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I don't know if it's just an instinctual thing with her or that she's really studying the political issues right now, but she's filling the void better than anyone else. I don't even see President Trump trying anymore, to be honest. And he's getting some good stuff done, but it's not where it needs to be. It needs to be every day pounding the pavement for the American people. It needs to be every day pounding the pavement for these issues that are so common that nobody wants to seriously listen to or address. And I guess it's because there's no money in it for them. There's no lobbyists. You know, who's lobbying for the little guy? Say, why do Israel's interests always get put before the American interest? Well, are you lobbying DC? Are the student loan debt ridden Americans, are they in DC lobbying? No. No, see, because the average American now is basically living in debt. The average American now is basically living paycheck to paycheck. They can't lobby. They can't spend millions of dollars to influence DC politics. So they go unheard. And then when somebody hears the issues they bring up, they just say, oh, stop complaining. And so we can make fun of AOC with the whole, oh, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps thing. But I mean, to a certain degree, you don't have to agree with her politically, but to a certain degree, you have to recognize that there's actually something there. And then when you're on the right and you just discount this, you say, oh, you're a stupid liberal. You're a stupid commie. Well, then you're not fixing anything. And no, the economy is not getting better. Cost of living is still way up. Inflation is down. That's good. Wages have gone up a little bit, but cost of living is still way up. Taxes are still too high. Energy bills, grocery bills, still too high. And then you look at the debt, which is compounding interest on people. This is what needs to be addressed. This is when you talk about, you know, building up the middle class or giving people the chance to climb the financial ladder. That's where it starts. But these people feel hopeless right now, folks, and they don't see anyone in politics reaching out on their issues. Nobody.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air. Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves. Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, I want to get into the geopolitical news now, but the truth is, I can't communicate this enough. I can't, it's almost like a test deal where it's like, let's just send a bunch of test waves out there and see what works. So it's like, how do we get Americans to unify on American issues and American causes? And people are sick of hearing about Ukraine. They're sick of hearing about Israel. And I get it. We all are. And the reasons why are legitimate. Why people are talking about it are legitimate. We're sick of sending all our money over there. We're sick of our foreign policy being influenced by all of this stuff. The deep state, the intelligence agencies, all of it. The military industrial complex, we're sick of it. Americans are getting crushed. But it's just like, you got to practice this. It's like, I'm going to throw 100 curveballs until I know the exact grip I like, the exact rotation I like, the exact arm angle I like, the exact downward motion I like. And it's like, once you get it, then you've got your curveball, then you can throw it. So it's like, how do we get the right delivery system here to really institute political change that affects in a positive way every American, left, right, center, all of them? Because that's the only solution here. And as long as right wingers are going to insult young people for complaining about the lot that they get coming out, then you're never going to be able to do it. But see, that's why I'm looking at Marjorie Taylor Greene and I'm saying she gets it. She sees it. She's either got great political instincts or she's really honing in on these things and she's saying, you know what? The left-right paradigm, though it's a real thing, has failed Americans. And there's a huge void now in D.C., in Washington politics, where nobody's listening. Nobody's listening to the American people and what their issues are. And I get it, because all these people in D.C., they're all rich. There's so much freaking money in D.C., they don't care. So they either come from rich families or they're taking advantage of the money there. They're not hearing from the Americans that are actually going through all this. So they just cast them aside, just say, yeah, you have no money. We don't care about you. Go figure it out on your own. Well, you know what happens? You get a communist mayor of New York City. That's what happens. And you know what happens next? You get a communist president. So you might want to get ahead of that. You might want to try to stop that. It might be time to open your mind a little bit. It might be time to open your eyes and open your ears and open your heart a little bit to these issues. I'm not telling you to promote or believe in left-wing politics. I'm just sitting here looking at this massive void, and now I'm seeing leftists start to see it. I'm seeing people on the right start to see it. Nobody politically, but it's like the same thing with the Krasenstein family coming back from Japan. Like, why is this city so nice compared to American cities? Jeez. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, maybe we've thrown enough of these curveballs for today, because I do want to get into this geopolitical news, and I got some other breaking news and a bunch of video clips and a guest coming up. But we want to thank our audience for continuing to support us here and keep InfoWars on the air. And we really want to thank our VIP members at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP, where we have extended the sale, an exclusive sale for VIP members on the buy one, get one free on all health supplements, the buy one, get one free on all apparel, VIP members only at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, if you're not a VIP member and you want to take advantage of this sale, it's very simple. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. You can become a VIP member today and you will get immediate access to this deal. You will also get your monthly credits. Yes, you get monthly credits to spend at the store when you become a VIP member. You also get double entries into all giveaways. When you shop at the alexjonesstore.com, you get multiple entries into our raffles and giveaways. Right now, it is the Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. So when you shop at the store, you get multiple entries to win that. But when you're a VIP member, you get double, so even more entries. Increase your odds of winning by becoming a VIP member. So we really make it worth it for the VIPs. We really thank our VIPs. It's that sustained membership that budgets us into the future. So we encourage you to take advantage of this VIP-only sale, and we encourage you to continue supporting us and becoming a VIP member. TheAlexJonesStore.com/VIP. Okay. Now, we are waiting comments from President Trump. It's going to be on this news. Trump to announce Apple's plan to invest $100 billion in U.S. manufacturing. And they're saying they're going to make all their screens here. So you're talking about millions of screens. So I know they're going to have a huge plant in Kentucky. There will likely be other plants as well. So this is a Trump win. This is a big Trump win. And what I'd like to see, we'll see what happens at this White House press conference here. What I'd like to see is President Trump go a little bit further here and start to go on the attack and say, hey, great news for America. Okay. This is going to produce jobs and it's going to bring back some of our manufacturing power, some of our manufacturing leverage in the global economy. But I'm okay with him coming out and waving a victory flag here. And I anticipate that, but I don't want that to be the force of this. He needs to come out here and he needs to go on the attack and he needs to address how we even got into this situation. And he needs to be coming out and he needs to be saying, you know, this is great news that we got this deal done. And I think Tim Cook is at the White House today. President Trump stepping out right now. But he needs to be like, yeah, there's Trump with Cook. He needs to be like, why did these countries leave America to begin with, and get into that. But Trump live at the White House with Vance, Cook, Lutnick, and Besant. Let's go live.
My book. Before we begin, I'd like to say a few words about the shooting at Fort Stewart in Georgia. As you know, five people were seriously wounded and two very, very seriously hurt around 11 o'clock this morning. The shooter is now in custody, and the Army Criminal Investigation Division is on site to ensure that the perpetrator of this atrocity, which is exactly what it is, will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. The entire nation is praying for the victims and their families, and hopefully they'll fully recover. And we can put this chapter behind, but we're not going to forget what happened. We're going to take very good care of this person that did this horrible person. This afternoon, we're pleased to welcome to the White House one of the great and most esteemed business leaders and geniuses and innovators anywhere in the world, Apple CEO Tim Cook. Amazing job. Thanks as well to Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessent and Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick for being here, wherever you may be. Oh, there you are. Hello, fellas. I missed you. Today, Apple is announcing that it will invest $600 billion, that's with a B, in the United States over the next 4 years. That's $100 billion more than they were originally going to invest. And this is the largest investment Apple has ever made in America and anywhere else. And it's just an honor to have you. As you know, Apple's been an investor in other countries a little bit. I won't say which ones, but a couple. And they're coming home. $600 billion. It's the biggest there is. The company's also unveiling its ambitious new American manufacturing program, which will bring factories and assembly lines across our country all roaring to life. Areas that were not doing so well are doing very well. We have about $17 trillion coming into the United States, which is more than ever before. That's never even come close. There's never been anything like it. That's even a lot of money for you. But we have commitments of more than $17 trillion. That was as of a couple of weeks ago. These investments will directly create more than 20,000 brand new American jobs and many thousands more at the Apple suppliers like Corning, Broadcom, Texas Instruments and Samsung, who all deal in that world. As part of this historic commitment, Apple will massively increase spending on its domestic supply chain for the iPhone and will build the largest and most sophisticated smart glass production line in the world in Harrodsburg, Kentucky, which is a great, actually, I did very well there. I like it because I see I did very well there. I did very well in Kentucky, but it's a great place. You're going to be very happy. I thought maybe while we're up, I'll interrupt my own speech by you might show them a little bit about the product that you're going to be doing in Kentucky, Tim.
Absolutely. Do you mind if I step up?
Yes, please.
This bond was made here in the U.S., California, and this glass comes off the Corning line. It's engraved for President Trump. It's a unique unit of one. It was designed by a U.S. Marine Corps corporal, a former one, that works at Apple now.
That's good. He's done well.
Designed it for you. And the base comes from Utah and is 24 karat gold. And it sits, I'll take the liberty of setting it up.
Wow.
Well, there we go. Congratulations,
Thank
Mr. President. Thank
fantastic.
You so much.
Great people of Kentucky. You're going to find it a great place to do business, too. So fantastic. Isn't that nice? We're doing these things now in the United States instead of other countries, faraway countries. This is a significant step toward the ultimate goal of ensuring that iPhones sold in the United States of America also are made in America. With the mass infusion of capital it's announcing today, Apple will also build a 250,000-square-foot server manufacturing facility in Houston and invest billions of dollars to construct data centers across the country from North Carolina to Iowa to Oregon. That's big stuff. Apple will also open state-of-the-art manufacturer economy. It's going to be a manufacturing academy in Detroit, and that's a great place to do. Well, you know, big things are happening in Michigan and Detroit. They're coming in because of what we've done with the, I call it the great big beautiful bill. I added one word, great. But we have probably the biggest, most comprehensive piece of legislation ever passed. It's going to mean unbelievable numbers of jobs and no jobs on, think of this, whether it's tips or overtime or Social Security, no tax. So no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime. And it's just a small bit of it. For Apple and others' businesses, we're talking about the deductions and all of the things. And actually, for people that go out and buy a car, first time it's ever been done, we talk about deductions for companies, but they're going to be able to deduct interest when they borrow money to buy a car if it's made in America. It has to be made in America. So it is amazing. And one of the reasons I think I can say that Apple's coming here is the legislation we just passed with this kind of investment. Apple will also open other facilities, rare earth magnets from Texas, and build, oh, I love that you're doing this. I love that. And build a brand new rare earth recycling line in Mountain Pass, California. I know that area. That's where they have a lot of truly rare earth. That's fantastic. I love that. And Apple will help develop and manufacture semiconductors and semiconductor equipment in Texas, Utah, Arizona, and New York. For years, Americans have watched as many of our leading tech giants built their factories overseas and exported American jobs abroad. But under the Trump administration, we're doing everything possible to make this the best place on earth to build a factory or grow businesses. I'm allowing them to build electric-producing plants with their factory, because otherwise they'd have to hook into the grid. And I think it's one of the biggest things we've done where you can build, Tim, your own electricity. You become your own electric manufacturer, and that goes along with the plant. So you become a utility. So congratulations. Now you're in the utility. I hope they don't value your company based on utility, but that's okay. You're going to be making your own electricity. And as you probably know, for much of this and much of many of the things that we're doing, especially the AI, they would need actually double the electricity that the country now produces for everything. So it's massive electric, and they're going to be able to make their own, and they're getting very fast approvals. Lee Zeldin is doing a fantastic job, including with a 100% expensing on the one big, beautiful bill. In return, we're asking our businesses to invest in America, and they're coming in at levels that we've never seen before. So I don't know when it shows up, but there are a lot of factories and a lot of plants that are either under construction or soon will be starting construction. So can't tell you exactly when, but I want to be around in about a year from now and 2 years from now, because we're going to see an explosion, I think, like this country has never seen before. Never. Today's announcement is one of the largest commitments in what has become among the greatest investment booms in our nation's history. And we've got the hottest country anywhere in the world. You know, I told you the story that and Tim, I'll tell you, but I went to the Middle East and I was with Qatar. I was with UAE and the King of Saudi Arabia, all great leaders. And then I went to NATO and saw many great leaders. And we just finished that about 4 weeks ago. Everyone, virtually everyone said, in effect, that we were a dead country 1 year ago. America, this was a dead country. We were dying. We were dead. And now you've got the hottest country anywhere in the world. This would have never happened except for certain people. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. NVIDIA is investing $500 billion to go along with Apple, $600 billion. $600 billion. Micron, great company, is investing $200 billion. IBM is investing more than $150 billion. SoftBank is investing substantially more than $100 billion. TSMC is investing $200 billion. Johnson & Johnson, $55 billion. Merck, Stellantis, and General Motors are putting many, many billions in. They haven't determined the final number. And many other countries are investing tens of billions of dollars, and I'm not going to give you the whole list because the list is too long to read. But it's hundreds of billions and even trillions. I mean, it's trillions of dollars is being invested right now. Last week, it was announced that our economy grew at 3% in the second quarter, and consumer confidence is surging. Blue-collar wages are rising rapidly. Costs are way down. You know, I listen to these horrendous frauds on CNN and various other fake news networks, and they say costs are up. No, no, costs are down. Gasoline is down. It's going to soon, I believe, be less than $2 a gallon. It's around $2.40 right now, many places other than in California where they tax you out of business, but and a couple of others. But gasoline is way down. The price of groceries are down. How about eggs? When I first came here, my first week, the press hit me very hard on eggs. Eggs had quadrupled or something. I said, I didn't know about it. Give me a chance. I've just been here for 4 days. Well, eggs are down. Everything's down. Price is down. The only thing that's up is stock prices. That's really up, and that's through the roof. The stock market has been hitting all-time records, all-time highs. Last week, it was announced that our economy grew at levels that we haven't seen in a long time. But the real levels of growth are going to be judged in a year from now when you start seeing some of these incredible plants, because we have car plants opening. They're coming in from Canada, from Mexico,
now, see,
and from all over the world.
I agree with Trump on that. But to sit here and say that the cost of living is down is just, it's just not happening, folks. And look, when you're in D.C. and you've got millions of dollars or whatever it is, you don't notice this stuff. Okay? You don't look at your grocery bill. You don't look at the price per pound on a steak or ground beef. So they might really believe what they're saying here, or try to compare it to the Biden years with the rising costs that aren't there in the Trump years, but know that the costs are not down. They're just not. On eggs, yeah, but that was one, a singular issue that was inflated when they killed all the chickens. There's a lot of work to be done on this issue. But I do agree. I'd say you do maybe wait a year until you can really give it a grade. All right, continue.
I said, you're right. That's where it came from. And we've really just started. This is just in its infancy. So we have a great country. We have a country that is going to be very rich. It's a country that we're very proud of, but it's going to be very rich. And it's companies like Apple, they're coming home. They're all coming home. And we want them to come home. They have to come home. We're going to treat them really well. We're going to be putting a very large tariff on chips and semiconductors. But the good news for companies like Apple is if you're building in the United States or have committed to build, without question, committed to build in the United States, there will be no charge. In other words, we're not going to be charging. So a lot of countries, a lot of companies are leaving various other places and they're coming to the United States. So in other words, we'll be putting a tariff on of approximately 100% on chips and semiconductors. But if you're building in the United States of America, there's no charge, even though you're building and you're not producing yet in terms of the big numbers of jobs and all of the things that you're building. If you're building, there will be no charge. So I just want everyone to know that. And I didn't even tell you that inside. We discussed the concept, but I didn't. So it's a big factor. So 100% tariff on all chips and semiconductors coming into the United States. But if you've made a commitment to build or if you're in the process of building, as many are, there is no tariff. Okay? If for some reason you say you're building and you don't build, then we go back and get we add it up, it accumulates, and we charge you at a later date. You have to pay, and that's a guarantee. So that's a big statement, and I think the chip companies are all coming back home. They're all coming back. You know, we started with Intel, and gradually Intel was just taken over the calls. They were taken to the cleaners, frankly, and moved to other places, in particular Taiwan. But I think a lot of those companies are coming back, and they're coming back very rapidly. So that's a big statement. 100% tariff. I want to thank you very much, Tim. Would you like to say a few words about your company, please? It's
okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Mr. President, thank you very much for having me here today. You've been a great advocate for American innovation and manufacturing. I'm grateful for your leadership and your commitment. That's a commitment we share at Apple because American innovation is central to everything we do. Our products are designed here, we're hiring and growing here, and we support 450,000 jobs with thousands of suppliers and partners in all 50 states. Earlier this year, we made our largest ever spending commitment, $500 billion to the U.S. over the next 4 years. That's already yielding results. Earlier this year, we broke ground on a new factory in Houston to make advanced AI servers. And just last month, the very first...
We are up against a break here. Tim Cook speaking from the White House. Look, this is, you know, this is what we've been talking about with what Trump is trying to do with the economy. So this is playing out how it should and how we anticipated it would. There's another big step, though, and that's the corporate tax rate. So they're cutting regulations. Let's cut the corporate tax rate next.
This is a major TheAlexShowStore.com news alert. I am cutting this announcement on the 30th of July, 2025. That means you've only got 7 days to take advantage of this massive sale at TheAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, buy one bottle of any of the amazing supplements or any of the Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and you get another item absolutely free at TheAlexShowStore.com. And there's a catch, but it's a good catch. You got to be a VIP. It's $30 a month. It's just like being an Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers, special sales. You get massive discounts on every product right away by being a VIP, and you can cancel with one click in your profile anytime. Go to TheAlexShowStore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid. Buy one, get one free. Power Plant, next level energy, way stronger than even Turbo Force. It's crazy. You add it with methylene drive product, it's dangerous. Be careful. These are incredible products. The Shilajit capsules and gummies. Ultimate Burn, incredible natural fat burning formula. Works great. People love it. Ultimate CMOS gummies and the capsules. The very strongest turmeric. prebiotics, probiotics, gut cleanse. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com for the next 7 days. Buy one, get one free when you're a VIP. I want to thank you all for your support. These are incredible products. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and experience what it does for your health and overall vitality, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear. Thank you so much for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
I saw Alex Jones and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man.
Yeah,
he lost some weight.
He
looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
Inside the Oval Office, Tim Cook speaking about the deal that he and Apple just cut with President Trump. And let's go back.
Shared some kind words about that work, but he also asked us to think about what more we could commit to doing. And, Mr. President, we took that challenge very seriously. I'm glad to be here with you today, and I'm very proud to say that today we're committing an additional $100 billion to the United States, bringing our total U.S. investment to $600 billion over the next 4 years. As a part of this, we're launching Apple's American Manufacturing Program. It will spur even more production right here in America for critical components used in Apple products all around the world. And we're thrilled to announce that we've already signed new agreements with 10 companies across America to do just that. First, with today's announcements, I'm proud to say that Apple is leading the creation of an end-to-end silicon supply chain right here in America, from design to equipment to wafer production to fabrication to packaging. In Texas, we're working with manufacturers like Texas Instruments, Global Wafers America, and Applied Materials. We're working with Amkor in Arizona and Broadcom and Global Foundries in New York. Thanks to President Trump's vision and with his help in his first term, we also led the way to bring TSMC to Arizona by committing to be their first and largest customer. Today, they're producing tens of millions of chips for Apple using one of the most advanced process technologies in America today. We're going to keep working with our suppliers to move even more of this incredibly advanced work to America. And this year alone, American manufacturers are on track to make 19 billion chips for Apple in 24 factories across 12 different states. Second, we're committed to buying American-made advanced rare earth magnets developed by MP Materials, which will become part of Apple's devices shipped around the world. MP is the only fully integrated rare earth producer in the United States, and with this partnership, they'll be significantly expanding their flagship facility in Fort Worth, Texas. We're also thrilled to work together on a cutting-edge rare earth recycling line in Mountain Pass, California. And third, in Kentucky, we've worked with our partners at Corning to build the world's largest and most advanced smartphone glass production line. And I'm pleased to announce that very soon, this is for the first time ever, every single new iPhone and every single new Apple Watch sold anywhere in the world will contain cover glass made in Kentucky. In addition to the American manufacturing program, we're also significantly growing our investments in AI, including expanding data center capacity in North Carolina, in Nevada, in Iowa, in Arizona, and Oregon. So we're going to keep making investments right here in America. We're going to keep hiring in America. And we're going to keep building technologies at the heart of our products right here in America. Because we're a proud American company, and we believe deeply in the promise of this great nation. Thank you all, and thank you, President Trump, for putting American innovation and American jobs front and center. Thank you, sir.
Great honor.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What a job he's done. What a job. Incredible. I want to thank you very much, and thank you, JD, for helping along. Good job. Really good job. Any questions, please?
Mr. President,
yes.
You promised on the campaign trail to bring forth a manufacturing renaissance. You just mentioned $17 trillion in your first 7 months or so.
Right.
Can you talk about how an investment like this, all the other ones that you laid out, will positively impact the millions of Americans that trusted you with their vote?
Thank you very much. It changes our country. I mean, our country is a very different country than it was 6 months ago. People like Tim are coming. We had Micron in yesterday. We had all of the big, great companies that you read about, you don't know about, but you read about. Many of them were making products outside of our country. Foolishly, we lost them. If we had the right person sitting in that seat, that would have never happened 20 and 30 years ago. When you look at the chip business, it would have never left our shores. We had 100% of chips originally, and then we slowly got taken down to nothing. We have the biggest chip companies, the both of them, but we have the biggest in the world coming in. They're going to Arizona and beyond. And we're going to have, in a short period of time, we'll be up to almost 50% of the chips from starting in nothing. And that's something. But we have the greatest companies in the world coming into our country. And that means jobs. And it means wealth. And wealth means security for our people. Okay. Brian?
Yes, sir. Congratulations on this investment. President Trump and
Thank you. Great
example of putting America first. What does the labor force look like to fill these jobs that you have? Do we have enough skilled American workers to fill these?
Well, we do have a lot of workers, and we have a lot of workers that hadn't been looking for work because they were disincentivized, frankly. People like Tim have tremendous schools and training centers that they build along with a lot of their big plants where they train people whether it's glass, like in Kentucky, or computers, or whatever they might be doing. It's a complex world, and they train people, and they do a great job. So it's a whole new workforce. Now, we have a lot of them in energy because, you know, they've always liked energy. As you know, coal has opened up big. We brought it back in a very large way. You know, China's right now building 58 coal-fired plants, 58 big ones. And here we were saying, we don't take coal. We have more coal than anybody else in the world. We have more oil and gas than anybody else in the world. But we have tremendous energy jobs. And the energy, as you know, we're booming with energy. And that's why the gasoline prices are down. The costs are down. I just hope when they watch these shows, I watch this, I won't use names because I just make them better known, that nobody knows who they are. But I watched this group of people on on CNN and MSDNC too, the same thing, where they say, well, costs have gone up. Costs haven't gone up. They've gone down. I'm telling you, the thing that's gone up is stock prices, and success of our country. Our country is really, really doing well, successful. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. President, have Putin and Zelensky agreed to a summit yet? And where and when would that be?
There's a very good prospect that they will. And we haven't determined where, but we had some very good talks with President Putin today. And there's a very good chance that we could be ending the end of that road. That road was long and continues to be long, but there's a good chance that there will be a meeting very soon.
How close do you think you are to a deal?
Excuse me?
How close do you think you are to some kind of deal?
Well, I don't want to say. I've been disappointed before with this one. You know, we've solved five wars, plus add to that Iran, where we wiped out their nuclear capacity for weapons. They would have had a weapon within 2 months, maybe less, and that was totally obliterated. Turned out it was a total obliteration, and the pilots and the people that did that job are really, we have the greatest armed forces in the world, but that was really something. In fact, there's a model of the plane right there. So, you got to bring that up, Susie. We have to see that. Look at this. This was just given to me. You know, we ordered brand new B-2 bombers. This is a plane that over a period of 36 hours of constant flying. Look at this. So this is the brand new one they just ordered. Similar, but actually quite different. It's new and enhanced. It's an amazing machine. Went 36 hours. We had 52 tankers up in the air loading up our planes because this was surrounded by F-22s and F-35s, and it was flawless, Tim. Even you would say it was flawless. And every one of those bombs hit their target. And then we had Tomahawks shot in from a submarine 300 miles away, and they hit every single Tomahawk hit its target. It was amazing. And that was a big threat. That was a nuclear threat. And here's the new one that we just ordered, a large number of them.
Mr. President, what was the breakthrough today? Did Vladimir Putin make some kind of concession that he hasn't been willing to make before?
I don't call it a breakthrough. I mean, we've been working on this a long time. There are thousands of young people dying, mostly soldiers, but also, you know, missiles being hit into Kiev and other places. But in terms of soldiers, I think Russia's lost over 20,000 since the beginning of the year. 20,000. And I guess the estimate for Ukraine is about 9,000. It's a terrible situation. We want to get it stopped. You know, we don't have American soldiers there, but I feel I have an obligation to get it stopped. This was not my war. This war would have never started, not even a chance. And it didn't start for 4 years. I went 4 years and it didn't start. But this is Biden's war. This was on his watch. And, you know, it's funny. We had no land was taken from Trump. It was taken from Bush. It was taken from Biden. The whole thing they would take from Biden if it weren't for us. But it was and it was taken by Obama. Take a look at what was taken with all of the land that was taken. Nothing was taken by Russia from us. Not one ounce of land was taken. I'm here to get the thing over with. It would have never started if I were president. And we're here to get it stopped and get the death stopped. Yeah, please.
President, in the past, you said you would know if Putin was hacking you along. What gives you any confidence that he is or isn't doing that this time around?
Can't answer the question yet. I'll tell you in a matter of weeks, maybe less. But we've made a lot of progress. And as you know, we put a 50% tariff on India. On oil, they're the second largest. They're very close to China in terms of the purchase of oil from Russia. But so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But we've had very productive talks today. Yes, ma'am.
President Trump, I'm federalizing D.C. Are you considering taking over the D.C. police? Is that an option on the table?
We're considering it, yeah, because the crime is ridiculous. I could show you a chart comparing D.C. to other locations, and you're not going to want to see what it looks like. It was just up on television, actually, they were showing it. Now, we want to have a great, safe capital, and we're going to have it. And that includes cleanliness and it includes other things. We have a Capitol that's very unsafe. You know, we just almost lost a young man, beautiful, handsome guy that got the hell knocked out of him the night before last. And I'm going to call him now. We wanted to give him a little recovery time. We just put a call into him. They're calling back in a little while, but he went through a bad situation, to put it mildly, and there's too much of it. We're gonna do something about it. So whether you call it federalized or what, and that also includes the graffiti that you see, the papers all over the place, the roads that are in bad shape, the medians that are falling down, the median in between roads that's falling down. We're gonna beautify the city. We're gonna make it beautiful. And what a shame. The rate of crime, the rate of muggings, killings, and everything else, we're not going to let it. And that includes bringing in the National Guard, maybe very quickly, too.
And do you want Congress to look at overturning the D.C. Home Rule Act?
We're going to look at that. In fact, the lawyers are already studying it. We have to run D.C. This has to be the best-run place in the country, not the worst-run place in the country. And it has so much potential. And we're going to take care of it. You're going to be safe. You're going to be safe walking down streets. You're not going to get mugged.
Mr. President, if you do reach a deal with Ukraine and Russia, would you drop the additional tariffs on India?
Well, we'll determine that later. But right now, they're paying a 50% tariff. Okay?
Yeah, please. One for Mr. Cook as well.
Yeah, please. Sure.
The president wants a made in the USA iPhone. What are the chances that you can actually make that happen?
Well, if you look at the bulk of it, we're doing a lot of the semiconductors here. We're doing the glass here. We're doing the Face ID module here. And so there's a ton of it. And we're doing these for products sold elsewhere in the world. And so there's a lot of content in there from the United States.
But what about the whole thing?
We're very proud of it.
Can you make the whole thing?
The whole thing is just the final assembly that you're focused on. And that will be elsewhere for a while.
He makes many of the components here, and we've been talking about it, and the whole thing is set up at other places, and it's been there for a long time. So in terms of cost and all, but I think we may incentivize him enough that one day he'll be bringing that. But he brings most of the stuff. Look, he's not making this kind of an investment anywhere in the world, not even close. He's coming back. I mean, Apple's coming back to America. Thank you.
Indian officials have said that there are other countries that are buying Russian oil.
It's okay.
Like China, for instance,
it's
buys
okay.
more.
Yeah.
Why are you singling India out for these additional sanctions?
It's only been 8 hours, so let's see what happens over the next...
Yeah. Sanctions.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot more.
So this is a taste of
You're going to see a lot more. You're going to see so much secondary sanctions. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry. You were the driving force behind Operation Warp Speed, these mRNA vaccines that are the gold standard.
Right.
Now your health secretary is pulling back all the funding for research. He's saying that the risks outweigh the benefits, which puts him at odds with
research
the entire medical community and with you. What is going
yeah.
on?
Research on what?
Into mRNA vaccines.
Well, we're going to look at that. We're talking about it, and they're doing a very good job. And, you know, that is a pass. Operation Warp Speed was, whether you're Republican or Democrat, considered one of the most incredible things ever done in this country. The efficiency, the way it was done, the distribution, everything about it has been amazing. But, you know, that was now a long time ago, and we're on to other things. But we are speaking about it. We have meetings about it in tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and we'll determine. We're looking for other answers to other problems, to other sicknesses and diseases. And I think we're doing really well. Yes, ma'am, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You said many times that you want to stop wars in the Middle East. Now Prime Minister Netanyahu is contemplating reoccupying Gaza entirely. Is he defying you, sir, or are you giving him a green light?
Well, we have stopped wars in the Middle East by stopping Iran from having a nuclear weapon. And they can say they're going to start all over again, but that's a very dangerous thing for them to do, because we'll be back. As soon as they start, we'll be back. And I think they understand that. They're just words. But no, we've stopped a lot of wars in the Middle East. If you think about what we did with Iran was the perpetrator of hate, a very evil place, and I think it's going to be a lot different in the coming years.
Do you have any similar plans to enact more tariffs on China as it relates to their purchases? Could happen. Depends on how we do.
I've got
an entertainment-based question for you. A few weeks ago, Stephen Colbert announced that he was leaving his show. Howard Stern announced that him and Sirius XM Radio are parting ways. Do you think the hate Trump business model that's been in the entertainment business is going out of business because it's not popular with the American people?
Well, it hasn't worked, and it hasn't worked really for a long time, and I would say pretty much from the beginning. Colbert has no talent. I mean, I could take anybody here. I could go outside on the beautiful streets and pick a couple of people that do just as well or better. They get higher ratings than he did. He's got no talent. Fallon has no talent. Kimmel has no talent. They're next. They're going to be going. I hear they're going to be going. I don't know, but I would imagine because they get, you know, Colbert has better ratings than Kimmel or Fallon. You know that. Howard Stern is a name I haven't heard. I used to do a show. We used to have fun. But I haven't heard that name in a long time. What happened? He got terminated?
Yeah, they're going to separate ways because I think what they're offering salary-wise is real low from what he's getting.
You know when he went down?
Whenever you want.
You know when he went down? No, before. When he endorsed Hillary Clinton, he lost his audience. People said, give me a break. He went down when he endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Mr. President,
have you talked to Governor Cuomo interviewing Fed candidates yet?
Yeah, we've started the interviewing process. Scott and I and Howard, a lot of people, JD, we're all, we have some great candidates. It's probably down to three. He doesn't want the job. He said, do you like this job better?
Yes, sir.
I mean, he was a candidate, but I don't think he'll take it. I really don't think he'd take it, actually.
Are there any candidates from Wall Street, Mr. President?
Yeah. Essentially, we're all from Wall Street, aren't we? You know, when you get right down to it, the term Wall Street. Yeah, please.
Yep. You made your tax cuts permanent. You mentioned that the tariffs are bringing in a ton of external revenue. You've opened up markets, the EU, Japan, South Korea, many others, to American goods like we've never seen before. How much growth can we expect in the economy now that this model of yours is sort of beginning to really take off?
Well, I think the growth is going to be unprecedented. I think we're going to have growth that's unbelievable. Now, remember, we're building and just starting to build a lot of these incredible plants. We talked about the electric facilities that we're building, the generating plants, electric generating plants. They're massive, and they're going to be great, and they're going to sell excess electricity into our grid. So we're going to be having much more electricity than we ever had, and those plants are going to be taken care of individually. I know Tim is building one in one of his big factories, but especially for AI because it needs so much electricity. So I appreciate the question very much. I think the growth is going to be unprecedented. I haven't. No, I haven't.
Mr. President, have you been briefed on what Ghislaine Maxwell told Todd Blanche?
No, I haven't.
I don't know whether Todd is
a very respected person all over the country, all over the world legally, so I don't know.
Mr. President.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Will the new Fed governor be temporary?
We're probably going to go with a temp and then a permanent, I think.
The
temp is going to be named, I'd say, over the next 2-3 days, and then we're going to go permanent.
Are the two Kevins the leading contenders for the permanent spot for the chair?
Well, the two Kevins? Mm-hmm. The two Kevins are absolutely, yeah. They're both very good.
Mr. President.
The
Mr.
two
President,
Kevins are very good.
Mr. President, is Vice President Vance hosting a gathering this evening to talk about how to respond to the Epstein situation?
Is he working on what?
Is he hosting some kind of gathering of top advisors this evening to talk about how to respond to the Epstein situation?
I don't know. I could ask you that question. I don't know of it, but I think here's the man right here.
I saw it reported today, and it's completely fake news. We're not meeting to talk about the Epstein situation, and I think the reporter who reported it needs to get better sources.
Look, the whole thing is a hoax. It's put out by the Democrats because we've had the most successful six months
no.
in the history.
This was
our
such
country.
A great press conference, and now you're going
to
do this. Good God!
Attention to something that's total bullshit. Okay. Yeah, please.
A new Gallup Good poll Lord. Says that Elon Musk is the most unpopular public figure in the country right now. I'm wondering Do you miss having him around the White House, or is that poll accurate?
I don't know if the poll's accurate. I think he's a good person. I think he had a bad moment, really bad moment. But he's a good person. I believe that.
Keeping that 10 and 12 day deadline.
China facing potential secondary sanctions for Russian oil. Them
having that
tariff or sanction rather, or not, hinges on what going forward.
It may happen. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you yet. But we did it with India. We're doing it probably with a couple of others. One of them could be China. Yes.
Are you keeping that 10 to 12 day deadline that you had given Russia after today's talks?
Yeah, we're pretty much getting close to it right now. But we're having very serious talks right now about getting out of Ukraine, getting it settled, getting it ended. Should have never started. Would have never started. If I were president, it would have never started. I want to thank Tim Cook. He's a great, great man, a visionary, a businessman, just about every quality he can have other than athleticism. I don't know about that. I'm looking at him. I'm not 100% sure about you. You're a good athlete. I'll bet you're pretty good. I think he's good at everything, but I want to thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Really good at pitching and catching. Other than that, all right. You know, that was really, everything was going really good. And then he calls the Epstein thing a hoax. You just roll your eyes. All right, whatever. So aside from that, this is what we need. We need economic press conferences. We need, now I'm not going to sit here and get into it. Prices are down and all that stuff. They're not. I mean, compared to the Biden administration, okay, you're doing better on the economy than Biden. But no, the cost of living is still up. Americans are still struggling financially. That's not your fault, Trump, but let's not gaslight people here and pretend like the grocery store bill and energy bills aren't extremely high, okay? So let's just get everything right. But other than that, that's the type of stuff. People are sick of hearing about Middle East issues. They want to hear about how we're going to fix the economy. That's what they want to hear about. And we want to hear about how we're going to clean up our cities. We want to hear about how we're going to get young Americans to invest and believe in the future of America again. That's what we want to hear about. So overall, I'd say that was good, but had to just give us a little Epstein hoax jab just to really just to put a little poop on it.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. Have you figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Boost Your Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything. All of it, already discounted. Buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our ultramethylene blue, but talk to your physician first, and if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check if there's interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. The pills, the gummies, it's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're into the third hour here of the InfoWars War Room. And you just heard about an hour there from President Trump at a press conference with a big announcement from Apple, and then kind of getting into some economic news there as well, but then taking questions from the press, so it got a little bit wide-ranging. Overall, I'd say a good press conference directionally right with some hiccups here and there. But I suppose I get it. Trump trying to build confidence, even if it's saying something that might not be totally true. But we're going to move on from that. We're about to get into a big issue with Taylor Lorenz, who's been on before. And, I mean, I guess I would argue that I guess I would say that maybe she was right about this. It wasn't that we were even having a debate, but she's really been covering the issue about AI being rolled out and what it means for the Internet. And where I was kind of like, well, you know, I think it's just for the adult content. She said, no, it's going to get worse. Well, she's kind of been proven right. Specifically if we're talking about what is going on in the UK right now. So we'll be joined by her, in a second. Folks, remember the VIP sale is still live right now at thealexjonesstore.com, but it's only for VIPs, but you can become a member and take advantage of this sale right now. Just go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP and you can get immediate access to this sale. Buy one, get one free on all health supplements. Buy one, get one free on all apparel as well. All you got to do is become a VIP member. We thank our VIP members. It's your support there that keep us on the air. So take advantage of that. It will come to an end, I'm told, tomorrow. I'm told tomorrow is the final day to take advantage of that. All right. Before we do bring the guest on, a couple other things to cover here. You heard President Trump mention this at the outset of that press conference. Five soldiers shot at Fort Stewart in Georgia. Shooter is in custody. They have identified the shooter. He is in custody. You also had this situation that I didn't really hear about, but the crew brought me the headline. Another armed civilian saves the day. Oh, well, maybe that's why they don't want to cover it. A stabbing at a Michigan Walmart on Saturday was stopped by an armed man, a Marine veteran. Now, this is what's crazy about it. It's like sometimes you make a mistake and then it ends up being for a reason that you didn't even realize. So the Marine veteran who was armed, he went to the shooting range, but he forgot to take his pistol off of his hip. Maybe some other people are familiar with that. You're carrying and you go to the grocery store and then you're like, oh, forgot I had it. The New York Times, Associated Press, Washington Post, NPR, NBC News, and BBC, and many others completely ignored the gun used to stop the attack, but an eyewitness described how others who had tried to stop the attacker were stabbed, but it took the Marine with a gun to stop the attack. The attack was stopped several minutes before the first responders were able to arrive. Yeah, that's always how it goes. One thought is that this hero might get some coverage in the legacy media because he is a black Marine veteran while the attacker was a crazed white lunatic. And yet I didn't see this anywhere when I was doing my news aggregation today. I didn't see it anywhere until the crew brought this to me. But aside from, you know, whatever racial aspects people want to be, there's this kind of idea around an armed civilian or just Americans walking around with guns. And it's like, it's like a bad image and it's like, oh, it's like a fearful thing. And it used to be a norm in America and actually you had a lot less crime. And so this is an example where yes, a good guy with a gun is really the only thing that stops a bad guy with the gun because the first responders are going to take time to get there. Okay. And that's just a fact. And if this guy wouldn't have accidentally had his gun on him, in that Walmart, thank God he did, who knows how bad this situation could have gotten. So this is why armed civilians that know how to use their guns, not just lunatics that carry around, but can end up stopping a crime scene from getting much worse. So maybe that's really, though, I think that's probably why they don't want to cover it. Because it goes against the whole, we need to be afraid of good guys with guns. We need to be afraid of civilians with guns. It's training you to think, oh, only a police officer should have a gun. Not me. I can't be trusted. I'm a stupid citizen. That's scary. Actually, you know what? I've decided with Taylor Lorenz, we're going to talk WNBA. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk WNBA. I think she's been going to the games. I think that there's been some news. I think Taylor might be behind this based off the color of her shirt.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember Paul Revere's You're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, so about a month ago, we had Taylor Lorenz on to talk about a situation developing when it comes to internet regulations and specifically the internet ID laws, where they kind of roll it out. As they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but they roll it out and they say, we need to do something about minors accessing adult content on the internet. So we need this internet ID. We need to pass regulations. We need to pass laws. There's been a little bit of it in the United States, but nothing compared to what has happened in the UK. And now the citizens in the UK are saying, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Well, internet ID to access adult content. Yeah, you know what? That's fair. We can support that. And then it gets rolled out. And what happens? Oh no, it's for YouTube. It's for Wikipedia. It's for social media. It's for everything. So Taylor, this was your concern when we talked about a month or so ago, and now it seems like with the UK, they're going to really test this out, and you know, a lot of times policies in the UK end up here. So what can you tell us with how this rollout has gone in the UK?
The rollout has gone terribly. It's an absolute disaster. It's what, you know, every single person who cares about free speech, who's been advocating against this stuff, was terrified of. And, yeah, I mean, you're seeing everything from SpongeBob SquarePants GIFs be censored, to people, adults having to scan their faces to use Spotify. You can't even customize your like NVIDIA GPU chip or whatever, like to fix basically to tweak graphics when you're playing a game, like video game, because you have to present your government ID to do that now. It's obscene, it's horrifying, and I think it's a taste of the type of authoritarianism that is coming to the U.S. if we don't stop it.
Well, you know, like I said, there's a hint of it here, but most, I would say, like, I don't know, 99.9% of Americans obviously are not using a government ID to access adult websites. I don't know if it's expanded anywhere farther than that. Do you know what is...
Owen... It is expanding rapidly here. We just had the Supreme Court uphold age verification for the first time on the internet. 11 states have sought to pass these laws, and more are trying to pass them. We're lucky that there's been some challenges, some legal challenges, but the Kids Online Safety Act right now is in Congress. They could act on it at any point. It's very close to happening here. This is something that both the Democrats and Republicans have been aligned on passing in the United States for years now. We should be terrified. I think the U.S., you know, the U.K. is just it's a glimpse into what will be our future if we don't start to fight back.
Well, okay, so they've got this bill being passed, and it's the same premise that we saw in the U.K., but I haven't experienced any of this yet. I know they do have them in Texas when it comes to the adult websites. I haven't experienced this yet, so where are they trying to roll this out? Where will Americans, other than, you know, adult content sites, where will Americans maybe first start to get an idea of this?
Well, so this isn't passed yet, right? Like, and by the way, the law was passed in the OSA in the UK was passed back in 2023. So they'll often pass these laws, and then there's a period of time before they roll out again, because it's incredibly expensive and difficult and unwieldy to roll out age verification and force to put that burden on all these platforms. So what they're trying to do right now in America is pass these laws. So we have Ohio, Arizona, Wyoming, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. We had Louisiana in 2022 pass this landmark law requiring age verification for all websites that contain 33% adult content, which, again, incredibly subjective term.
Yeah, what does that even mean, 33%? I mean, I log in on the Daily Mail, and I got, you know, half-naked chicks on the sidebar.
It means everything. I mean, when you think about what adult content is, these incredibly broad you know, these languages, and they say like harmful content is another one. What is harmful? What is adult? You know, that's why you see stuff like this Alcoholics Anonymous forums are being shut down. Actually, forums where children can get help if they're victims of sexual abuse or sexual assault are also being shut down, which is actually going to lead to more child exploitation because all of this is adult content. It's absurd. News and information is adult content. And if you don't think that this is bad under Trump, maybe you trust him as president. Imagine until the person that you hate is in office. The Democrats will be back in office at some point. Imagine Hillary Clinton. I don't know. Maybe she comes back from the dead. Like, just imagine the worst
person. Hillary's dead?
No,
I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
Politically,
well,
yeah.
Politically. I'm just saying, imagine what, like, we need to legislate laws where people need to think. Imagine how the worst political leader that I could think of could weaponize this law. Age verification, these laws are censorship laws. We know this. And the Democrats and Republicans, again, have been working together to pass this type of stuff. We're seeing it first on the state level. They're testing it out on the state level because they know basically if they can put these really restrictive state laws into place, you know, we don't have 50 different versions of Facebook and Twitter or whatever for every single state. This platforms will just default to the most restrictive law. So if Utah or Texas or Ohio or New Jersey or New York, you know, passes these laws, like that is already going to sort of pressure the platform. And we're already seeing censorship in Texas. But it's devastating, and it's going to happen gradually too in America, I think, because of the state system. I don't know. We'll see if COSA passes anytime soon. But the time to fight these laws is now, before they have passed. Once we see what happens in the UK, it's going to be too late. They're not, the government never dismantles surveillance infrastructure once they've rolled it out.
Well, and of course, this even goes beyond this when we start to talk about the entire AI grid that's being set up for surveillance. But I suppose that's, you know, maybe that's down the road. You know, here, when I hear this,
it's all interconnected.
It will be for sure. When I hear this and I think about this, I say, okay, well, was there a problem here? Right? I mean, what, was there a problem that we're trying to address? Like, was there a big issue with kids on the internet? Because, I mean, I'm sure it was happening, but it's like, I didn't hear any outcry. It's kind of like, if I go, when you're a kid, you're 15, 16, whatever, you want to go to the movies, you have to sneak into an R-rated movie, right? They're not going to sell you the ticket. They're going to ask for your ID. So you'd have to sneak in, but it's like, okay, a kid can hop onto Amazon and watch any movie that they want. Nobody's complaining about that, right? I mean, that's the parents' issue if they want to deal with that in a way that they feel fit. So it's like, where does this go? You always have to think, so like, now are you going to have to have a digital ID to access your streaming platform? Are you going to have to show a face scan to go watch an R-rated movie in your house?
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's what we're already seeing in the UK. Yes, you will have to verify your identity basically everywhere. This is the goal is to completely remove anonymity from the web and basically set up all of these age verification systems to tie all of your online behavior to your offline identity. And as you mentioned, this is just being fed into this massive surveillance system. Let's not forget that Persona, one of the leading age verification, third-party tools, is a Peter Thiel-backed tool that is, you know, owned by a bunch of Silicon Valley tech billionaires. Like, this is a gift to the worst people in big tech. And I think that if you're worried about big tech surveillance or censorship, you should have serious concerns. Also, again, just civil liberties. We should have the right to anonymously use the internet. You know, I don't want the government peering over my shoulder, knowing every single song I listen to on Spotify or every single article I read on Wikipedia, because that data can then be used or fed into AI algorithmic systems that to sort of determine, you know, whether you are likely to commit a crime, or they can use it to track you if you do the wrong thing. We all should protect our civil liberties. We never know when the government can come for us. We're seeing authoritarianism. And I want to stress that this is a bipartisan issue. Both the Democrats and Republicans have been pushing this. Aside from Rand Paul, Ron Wyden, and a few people, you know, we've got Richard Blumenthal, Mark Warner, Nancy Pelosi, and then Marsha Blackburn on the Republican side, and lots of people. This is something that all these people in power want, because they want to control speech online. They want to eliminate independent media. They want to eliminate free expression online. And they want to have top-down control, where you are fed essentially a stream of government, you know, government-approved messaging, and you cannot dissent.
Yeah, this leads to censorship. And if you think about what we've witnessed in, say, the last 10, maybe 20 years, you used to have four major news networks that could totally control the narrative, totally control what you see, what you don't see. Now with social media, this paradigm has shifted entirely. The networks cannot control what you see. They cannot control a narrative. You know, one of the big issues right now that we see a major fight to try to control the narrative on is what's going on in the Gaza Strip. And so you see IDF people trying to get into all these different social media companies to try to shut down anybody sharing any footage from Gaza. So it's beyond just the IDF trying to stop the journalists from filming. Once the footage gets out, now they're on the back end trying to stop it there too. Now, I'm a big believer in the free market, meaning I believe the free market can correct some of this stuff. It's not a perfect practice, but it at least allows you the opportunity where I see they keep putting the story. I think you mentioned how in UK, people are deleting their Spotify because they have to show, it's like a face scan or something. So what I'm saying is it's like, if I have an app that I like to use, or if I have a streaming service I like to use, and then all of a sudden they're saying, we need to see government ID, we need to do a face scan, I'm going to say, I don't like this. This is an invasion of privacy. I'm going to cancel my account. I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm going to take my streaming business elsewhere. I'm going to take my social media business elsewhere. But if they sign this bill, then there is no free market anymore.
And it's even less of a free market because these massive tech platforms like Meta, Spotify, it's YouTube, they have the resources to do all of this mass data harvesting and implement these really costly age verification systems. But the penalty for not complying with these age verification systems is quite high. And so it will just eliminate so many small communities on the web, so many independent forums, websites, community groups. Again, like I mentioned, these Alcoholics Anonymous groups, these groups for children seeking, you know, underage kids seeking support for because they're being sexually abused. Those smaller groups, those smaller forums, those smaller indie apps, upstart apps, will not have the money to basically comply with the law. And so this is just another gift to these big tech conglomerates because they will just have more and more monopoly. And if you're worried about gatekeepers over our information environment, I think it's wonderful that we don't have the information environment that we had in the 90s where we just had like four, you know, broadcasters or whatever. But we do have I don't know if it's a monopoly, but we certainly have these major tech platforms that do, I think, have outsized control over speech. And we've seen the way they censor, you mentioned Gaza and other things, basically anything that goes against, sort of government narratives. And that is happening on Meta still. It's still happening across TikTok. The reason that they were able to get the TikTok ban through was because of the Gaza stuff. So we need to be concerned. We need to be concerned about the old gatekeepers and we need to be concerned about the new gatekeepers and we need to preserve a free and open internet for everyone. We need people to get involved. No one's fighting back against these laws.
Well, I can already think of parents that might support this and they'll say, well, and really it does to me fall on the parents. If you don't want your kids watching certain stuff, that's the parents' responsibility. And it's like, that's not the government's job to come in here and do that. And you say, oh, well, you know, parenting is so difficult now. Shut up. 1,000 years ago, you had to like protect your kid from getting mauled by an animal or picking up a disease or something. Let's stop acting like that's such a difficult thing to just try to monitor your children's activities on the internet. Like, you know, but I can already hear that. Oh, they're going to use the angle of, oh, it's so hard to the parenting on the internet. Oh my gosh. I can already hear it in my ears when they try to pitch this stuff to the American people. But aside from that, what is the actual process here? I've had people that have come, that have tried to come visit me and they have not been able to get on an airplane because they don't have the new real ID. They're actually enforcing that now at the airports. Well, okay, good luck. Good luck at the DMV. You're not even going to be able to get your real ID for weeks. So it's like, that's something that's like old tech and we can't even have a fast delivery system on a requirement with a real ID. What is the process like for this digital ID? What hoops do you have to go through to even get the official thing to access this stuff?
Well, it's going to be a patchwork of things. So, you know, there might be some more official things, like they're talking about doing it on the device level. And then some, you know, there's so many different types of proposal. I mentioned Persona. There's all these third party tools that are going to be like, okay, you sign up for this third party and this third party tool. The point is that you're just exposing more and more and more and more of your data to systems that undeniably will not be able to keep that data safe. We know that this data gets hacked, stolen. You know, if you're worried about foreign governments taking our data, like that, they're going to have unlimited access to it, basically, because these are not going to be secure systems. And you are going to be at a high risk for identity theft, all that stuff. You know, you mentioned the airport, and airports, I made a video about this recently, have become really draconian around speech. Like, we're seeing people stopped at the border for speech. Obviously, you've got to scan your face now. Most people don't realize that you can opt out. 93% of people don't ever even ask to opt out when you're going through, you know, the check. You don't have to scan your face if you don't want to. You can still give them your ID. A lot of Congress people have tried to make that impossible. So I just encourage people to express their civil liberties and stand up for themselves. But yeah, it we'll see kind of how it manifests, but it's going to be this messy patchwork of different verification methods, like face scanning, biometric data, importing your driver's license, all of this. For kids that don't have driver's license, they'll probably have to prove it otherwise. We're already seeing disasters, by the way, where people with face tattoos, you know, it's messing up. The AI systems aren't accurately able to guess people's ages because, again, like, some people look really young at 30. Some people look really old at 30. No one looks like, there's no standard way that, like, a 16-year-old looks different than a 19-year-old necessarily. And so it's just, or a 17-year-old looks, you know, remarkably different from an 18-year-old. So it's, the whole thing is just going to be a complete mess. And I just want to say one thing too about what you said about parents. I think what parents need to know is that none of this is going to keep your kids safer. Kids, we know kids, they're very tech savvy. Okay. If your kid wants to access porn, they're going to find a way to do that. We know this happens. What they will likely do is download some sort of VPN or honestly end up in very dark corners of like the dark web or whatever that refuse to, you know, abide by these laws that are based outside the America, who knows, but it's going to lead to even more like dangerous corners of the internet. Then none of this is going to protect them.
Yeah. See, that's why I just look at the free market and there's kind of been other things like this where cell phone companies will come up with new creative ways where you can give a kid a cell phone, but it's very limited. You know, you can only make a call to certain numbers. It doesn't have any apps or anything. It's just, you know, a basic phone that they can have for safety or whatever. I've seen other similar things where they can give a kid like a debit card, but they can earmark it so that they can only spend it at certain places. So that's how the free market can kind of adapt to this stuff. And you can have protocols on the internet or phones if you want to have your kids access that stuff to try to protect them. But yeah, you know, obviously, I mean, we both look very young for our age, Taylor, right? So, you know, that might be we could maybe deceive, AI with that issue. So what comes next for Americans? Where do we need to kind of have our antennas up here? And when a new move happens where we can say, okay, this is starting to get into a level of it's time to have a reaction here.
Yeah, well, like I said, fight at the state level and the federal level. So if you are, you can check, I think the Electronic Frontier Foundation has a place where you can check, you know, the different states. But here's what you should do. Call your local representative, call your congressman, call your senator, call your representative in the House and say, listen, I don't want age verification here. I don't want surveillance tech. Do not pass the Kids Online Safety Act. Do not pass these censorship laws. We want to preserve a free and open internet for all. You cannot pass these laws. They are incredibly dangerous and we need people to start activating. There's FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Freedom, which is a great organization, bipartisan. They're nonpartisan rather. They back people on all sides of the political spectrum. They've been doing great work. You can donate to organizations like that, or the EFF. But I think call your representatives and make your voices heard and tell them to stand up for free speech, stand up for civil liberties. No one on the left or the right is doing this. And we need people to start to get involved. This stuff that's happening in the UK, that is the tip of the iceberg of what could happen here. It's really scary. And we're already, again, seeing these state censorship laws move forward. So I would, you know, if you're in one of those states, there's, like I said, there's 11 different states, you know, that are currently seeking to pass these laws. So, you know, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, New York, Illinois, these are all some of the places that are starting to pass these laws.
Well, when I saw that stuff out of the UK, I sent you the message and I said, hey, let's come on and address this because I know that you've been all over this for years. And so, we can both agree with this, that it's a nonpartisan thing. I think it's a freedom thing. I think it's a freedom thing. And I think it's an issue for the future of humanity. Cause look, I don't like it, but it's just the fact we're going into an AI technological world. There's nothing I can do to stop it. I can bitch and complain and kick and scream. I can become Amish, but that's where it's going. And so we have to consider that that's the future. And these are the parameters. These are the borders that they're trying to set up with us now before we go into that and can really understand what it means. So, it's very important stuff for us to remain, left, right, anybody that's freedom oriented to, remain on top of this. All right. But with the final couple minutes we have left here, I'm going to loosen up a little bit, cover some other things. I have a sneaking suspicion that you've been attending WNBA games, Taylor, and that you've been lobbying, purchases that you've made from Rabbi Shmuley's, online store with his daughter onto the WNBA court. Can you deny this activity? Have you been seeing this? Is that you?
I don't even know what's happening.
Following the WNBA?
I'm not a sports person.
Wow, what kind of feminist are you?
I know.
No wonder they can't make any money, Taylor. You're not even watching their games.
What's happening at the games? What are people doing?
So it's a fourth time, actually. I think the WNBA is doing this as a stunt, but that's my conspiracy theory. People are throwing dildos onto WNBA courts now. They're lobbing. Lime green is the color of choice. I don't know what's up with that. So it's, hey, you know what? They're finally having fun. People are finally talking about the WNBA. So there you go. That's not yours?
I'm surprised people don't throw more things onto the court in regular basketball games because people are
Americans
just sitting.
Aren't that uncouth.
I don't know. People are crazy. Have you been to a concert lately? People throw shit on the stage all the time.
Yeah, but that's kind of fun. That's like 90s when it used to be cool to do that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
now they give you like a little paper cup and they tell you so you can't throw stuff at, and that's fine. We want to protect people's safety. No, I just think it's funny that the WNBA, it's like no matter how hard they try to be a serious organization, the harder they try to be serious, the bigger of a joke it becomes.
Caitlin
I think they should lean
into
it.
Though. Caitlin, they should lean. Well, first of all, I guess maybe as a publicity stunt. But there's some good, was it Angel Reese? Isn't she the other one? There's some good female basketball players out there.
No, stop it. No.
I mean, I don't watch basketball, but.
You just proved it with what you just said. Well, Sophie Cunningham is making fun of it. She said a week ago, she said, stop throwing dildos on the court. You're going to hurt one of us. And last night she was literally hit by one. It hit her. She was the one that got hit by it. Funny enough. I think the WNBA is doing this for attention, though. That's what I think. That's my conspiracy theory of the day.
Okay, that would be pretty big brain. I don't know, but.
All right, last one for you here. Smoothie King, everybody knows Smoothie King. Smoothie King is releasing a ketchup-flavored smoothie. Are you going to have a ketchup-flavored smoothie?
Okay, there's too much of these custom flavors. I think we need to stop with this because they also rolled out, I saw an ice cream chain rolled out breast milk flavored ice cream this week.
And it's
as
not
well.
Even real breast milk, damn it.
That is, no, too many flavors. We had chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. Let's stick to that. Those are all we need.
I saw that. I saw that they were doing the breast milk and I was like, ooh, real breast milk? And then I found out it wasn't even real breast milk, Taylor. So.
Ugh. Can't even get the organ. Wait, RFK, where is he on this?
I know, not as excited. All right, so no Heinz tomato ketchup smoothie.
That looks disgusting.
I don't know who would line up for that. I really don't. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be me. All right, Taylor, where can people follow you?
Follow my YouTube channel. I have a series every Friday called Free Speech Friday where I talk about free speech and free expression. Thank you for listening to me. I'm sure there are people that do not agree with me on a lot of things politically, but I hope that we can all agree that, you know, the thing that makes America great is the First Amendment and free expression, the right to free expression, and we have to fight to protect a free and open internet.
Well said.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. Mm-hmm. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. Mm-hmm. He stated, quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you have someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, "In earlier times, it was easier to control a million people than to physically kill a million people." He said, "But now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control," end quote.
It was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that, and you think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They say these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Final segment here of the InfoWars War Room. We got a lot of news yet to cover. Let me get into this geopolitical stack first. So you've got a bit of a split here on the Israel issue. And I think, you know, AIPAC is such a, it's going to become a burden politically soon. And it's so overexposed now, and it has such a negative connotation now that there's no going back from it. And they're so out front with it, too, bragging about everything that they do and all the people that they pay off in Congress. So it's kind of like they're leaning into it. Strange tactic. It's not working for them. But the Democrats are trying to at least pretend like they're trying to stop what's going on there.
Senate Democrats seek to reimpose sanction on Israel. So they're trying to have sanctions on Israel for what's going on in the Gaza Strip. But it's kind of like this political activity when you know you can't actually get it done because you don't have the numbers. So you pretend like you care for political points, even though you know you're going to fall short, just so you can at least pretend like you had an effort and then you can run on something like that. So it's most likely, maybe it's a mixture of that they do really care, but they also just want to score political points. But no, you had the Republicans, dozens of AIPAC Republicans in Israel, oh yes, being briefed by Netanyahu. Netanyahu briefs visiting members of U.S. Congress on Gaza war. So no, they're not in Qatar. No, they are in Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met earlier today with a bipartisan delegation from the United States House Intelligence Committee. The Prime Minister's office says in a statement, I've got the statement right here with all the images of Netanyahu addressing them. Oh, but it wasn't just Netanyahu. Mossad Chief David Bernier and U.S. Congressman Rick Crawford, Josh Guttenheimer, and Ronnie Jackson were also present at the meeting. So you got Mossad there as well. Yeah, no big deal. Just got Mossad and Maxwell and Epstein and now AIPAC members going and getting briefed by Mossad. Totally normal stuff. Nothing to see here. Those damn Qataris. Now, it would appear, and I just think it's deductive reasoning, but you have Yosef Janowski at the Israeli Times, who seems to have reached the same conclusion I've reached on why you have this Epstein drip, drip, drip. Now, he's obviously a pro-Israel writer, so he looks at it as a good thing, whereas really if you're an American and you see this stranglehold Israel has, you look at it as a bad thing. But he's obviously celebrating it. He's saying, oh, this is great. Look at how much control America has. It's a short little piece here. Trump, Israel, and the Epstein files. Trump and his administration criticized Netanyahu and Israel. And now the Epstein files are haunting him. For a long time, the files had subsided in the background. They weren't considered to be much of a threat to Trump. But all of a sudden, right after he started up with Israel, the files surfaced, and they seemed to be overwhelming him. Trump blasted Bibi after shrapnel hit a church in Gaza. Shrapnel. They blew the church up. Give me a break. The church is in a war zone. It was not targeted. Rather, shrapnel from a nearby explosion hit it. Nice. Still, Trump berated Bibi and demanded that he publicly express regret after Israel bombed places in Syria in order to protect the Druze. Administration officials from the White House referred to Bibi as a madman. It seemed that Trump's ambitions are even more important to him than preventing the slaughter of Druze. Actually, that's what you would say about Netanyahu. More important to him than stopping Israeli Druze from crossing into Syria, something that would greatly escalate fighting and bloodshed. Yeah, that's not an American problem. You see, that's the issue, is this is America. You're talking about Israel and Syria. Last I checked, they are not in America. So, not sure why that should be a Trump issue anyway. Huckabee also chimed in, blasting Israel for withholding visas from evangelical groups. Well, yeah, because he doesn't want to be killed by Israel. It seems that Israel wants to first ensure that the groups don't plan to missionize. Oh, well, you're not allowed to, I guess, missionize Christianity. Oh, that's not what I was told, though. But Huckabee seems incentive to Israel's concerns. I may want to reword that. Trump decided to bomb Iran's nuclear sites, and that's commendable. But reports later surfaced that he rejected the option to bomb for a week's time in order to finish off all the sites. Thus, only Fordo was severely damaged, while other sites only minimal or no damage. So here he is promoting, oh, you didn't really damage them, because, of course, we know why. And now some old files are threatening him. Perhaps Trump will realize that it really doesn't pay to start up with Israel. Perhaps those implicated in the files will express contrition and regret. Oh, so in other words, Israel has the blackmail on you, so do what Israel wants or else. From the Israeli Times. Not even hiding it, bragging about it. And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't AIPAC brag about how they control our Congress? Why wouldn't Israel brag about how they control our foreign policy? Good for them. Embarrassing for us, sad for us, pathetic for us, but good for them. And they just rub it in your face. They publish it in the Israeli Times. But I agree.
I've been saying it for weeks. They're doing this slow drip, drip, drip because they're trying to get something out of Trump in the Middle East. So maybe it's regime change in Iran. Maybe it's something else. But I think I do think he's holding it off right now. So they're going to continue finding old videos and photos. That's what this all is, folks. They would have done this a long time ago if it was about something else. They're doing it all now strategically to go after Trump. It's not the Democrats. It is not the Democrats. This is a foreign intelligence operation against Trump. And it's funny to listen to the entitlement from these Israelis, like, no. Because I see people all the time, oh, no, you've got the power dynamics wrong here. America controls Israel, not the other way around. But you go read Israeli press, you follow Israeli news. I mean, they literally brag about how they control us, folks. Like, that's what's so hilarious. AIPAC brags about how they control our Congress. I mean, Trump used to talk about it on radio shows. He said, yeah, Israel controls our politics. It's like an open secret. So, yeah, they're sitting here publishing these stories like, yeah, you work for us. We have the blackmail on all of you. You will do our bidding. And if you don't, you will reap the consequences. And yet I still can't find America on the map in the Middle East. And I still can't find the Middle East anywhere in America. And yet somehow the Israelis believe they're entitled to just have the full force of our government and our military behind them. This is why a divorce is necessary from Israel. And this is why a decoupling entirely from the Middle East is the only answer. Now, meanwhile, crowds gather around aid trucks in Gaza as food shortages persist and more people going for aid are getting shot and killed. Senior IDF general admits to disagreements among top officials on Gaza approach. We've been telling you this for a long time, but it's now all out in the public. It's not so good. That's how you know it's bad, folks. Because there's fighting internally with military and diplomats in Israel. They're like, hey, you know what? Maybe we agree on what needs to be done here. Maybe we both have hatred for the Hamas, the Gazans, whatever, but, at a certain point, you kind of realize you've gone too far, and I think that's the realization. But Netanyahu doesn't care. He's got the agenda. He wants his legacy to be that he conquered the Gaza Strip and gave it to Israel. That's all he cares about. The bloodshed, I guess what it does for Israel's in the worldview, I guess he doesn't care or think about or assume he can whitewash it. Senior IDF general appears to admit disagreements among top military brass on approach in Gaza. Now, this is the Orthodox Jews. Senior Haredi leader threatens global struggle like never before over IDF draft. So they're trying to draft the Orthodox Jews now, which was never the policy until now. And I guess that's just because they're getting ready to force everybody into this war, or maybe it's punishment because the Orthodox Jews haven't been so supportive of this war. But either way, that's going to take a major turn. And it appears that the at least some groups over there, the Haredi and others, are saying, okay, you're going to try to do this to us. We're going to give you a little bit of a political problem too. And Netanyahu knows that. Meanwhile, in Iran executes a man accused of spying for Israel and another planning ISIS group sabotage. So you got to wonder how Iran let their guard down so much to get penetrated by all these Israeli spies and ISIS groups, which are just proxy groups of the CIA and Mossad and everything else. But they learned it the hard way. I mean, folks, you get into these stories. These spies were in the top level of, they had access to the top level of Iranian intelligence, Iranian government, Iranian military. And just as, I mean, it was obvious at the time, but now it's official. It's like, well, gee, how was Israel able to do those precise strikes? Because their spies were so deep into the Iranian network that they literally could get their geolocation, and they shared it with the Israeli military, and that's how they did the precise strikes. So Iran is on it now, and they've executed quite a few people for spying. And Tom Cotton wants to remind you where he stands. He's one of the biggest Israel ball lickers there is, which is too bad, because other than the Israel stuff, Tom Cotton is pretty good. But then he reminds you he works for a foreign country, and this just throws everything else out.
European leaders should not reward Hamas with the prospect of recognizing a so-called Palestinian state. Oh, my gosh. Palestine was a state before Israel. That is a historic fact. And you can go find Bibles that were published in the early 1900s, and they have Palestine on the map, and there is no Israel. These were in the Bibles. The pressure should be put on Hamas until all of the hostages are returned and Hamas is completely defeated. Now, here's the problem that I think they're going to have with Hamas. Obviously, these people are willing to die. Okay? And it's, we're not just talking about radical Islamic jihad, but specifically with Hamas. Obviously, these people are willing to die for the cause. More so than the Israelis. The Israelis don't want to die for the cause. They're not going in boots on the ground. They're not going into the tunnels. They're just leveling everything from above, preserving Israeli life. Hamas fighters are willing to die. And so, I would say Hamas probably now looks at this and says, we're winning. We're winning because we might die, but now the whole world is going to turn against Israel. And in case you haven't noticed, folks, these two groups have nothing but hatred. They have nothing but hatred. They both just want death on the other side. That's all they want. They just want death and destruction against their enemy. They are filled with hate. And now you see it in American politics. It's really upsetting to see, but you see it in American politics as well. With people in media that I even like and respect, consider friends, but you see the hatred they have in their heart. And it's sad. It's really ugly. It's really nasty. It's really sad, but you see it. So yeah, Hamas is probably sitting here like, well, yeah, hundreds of thousands of us are going to die. And who knows what else the IDF might do to us if they capture us. You know, they're raping people, everything else. And so it's just a disgusting, it's just, the whole thing is disgusting. That's why I don't want anything to do with any of them. That's why it's, we're all so sick of being involved. But, you know, Hamas is probably looking at this and saying, hey, you know, the whole world is turning against Israel. So they might kill us, but in the process, they're killing themselves. And I think that they've kind of had that realization now. So they don't really, turning over the hostages at this point, they're just like, whatever. It doesn't even matter. Because now the whole world is turning on Israel, and it doesn't even matter what we do. Because that's who everybody's watching, and that's who's getting all the support in America. So I don't know how this deal ends, but it looks like it ends with Israel taking the Gaza Strip at a minimum. They're gonna shave off part of Syria. They're gonna aim to take the West Bank, the Golan Heights. They're gonna continue to fight Lebanon and Jordan. In fact, I think Israel struck Lebanon today. It was Lebanon or Jordan. Israel strikes again a foreign country. But obviously that's the goal, is to take all that land. And Netanyahu wants that to be his legacy. And I guess he can't even see into the future and realize the damage he's doing for Israel. And you know, there's not near enough appreciation. And maybe that's part of the problem that Americans are having in this transactional relationship. You know, if the Israelis and American Jews were on their knees every day thanking America, I mean, thanking us, you know, smooching us, licking our boots, then maybe it wouldn't be so bad with the anti-Semitism. But they're not. They're entitled. They're not thanking America. They're asking for more. They're saying it's never enough, and they're saying America's anti-Semitic now. It could be, if you believe, now I'm not saying I believe this, but if you take it at face value, if you believe Iran was a month away from getting a nuke, well then guess what? America likely just saved the entire nation of Israel. So if you really believe all of this stuff, and Iran was about to have a nuke and launch it to nuke Israel, then tell me why Netanyahu isn't kissing our ass. Tell me why American Jews that are loyal to Israel, tell me why Israel isn't over here praising America, on its knees, begging America for help, praising America for saving its life. That should be the dynamic here. Not the other way around.
Not Israelis telling us how much we owe them. Not Israelis telling us how great they are. Not Israelis and American Jews saying, oh, America's the problem and anti-Semitism is the problem and we need to censor speech and we need to monitor your activity and all this other stuff. No. If you believe all the propaganda, which I think it's all bull crap anyway, but let's take it at face value. If we destroyed the nuclear site and Iran was about to nuke Israel, then the United States of America just saved Israel. Literally just saved probably a million people in Israel. So where's the big thank you? You know? Where's the big parade celebrating America saving your ass? Where's the appreciation for all the money and the weapons and everything that you have gotten from us? And all we get is entitlement and arrogance and told that we owe more and that they're better than us? And then you're shocked when people are turned on Israel? You're shocked after everything you've done in the Gaza Strip? And you're sitting here stunned at why people have turned on you? You should be thanking us. Because if we believe your propaganda about Iran, then we just saved your ass. We just saved your entire country from getting nuked. And I don't see a big thank you parade. I don't see Israelis coming into America to help with flood disaster relief. We have disasters in this country. They never come here to help. Where's the big ceremony? Where is this big, massive ceremony thanking America for what they did destroying Iran's nuclear sites? Where is it? I don't see it. Americans fought and died with other white Christian Europeans and then gave you Israel. And now Americans just stopped Iran from nuking you. And where is the appreciation? Where is the thank you? Where is the gratitude? Should be on their knees praising us. But I guess when you're entitled and arrogant and superior as God's chosen people, I guess that's not really in the book, is it? By the way, here's General Flynn. This is the ultimate truth here in clip 12.
And I know that there's some machinations and there's got to be some big, big problems right now internal, and Netanyahu's dealing with it with the IDF. They're going to have to do some soul searching. And I mean immediate soul searching, because the 7th of October was a date, you know, that they still have not been able to. And there's an investigation going on. And I've already heard from some of the soldiers that were told to stand down and the exact hours. So something bad happened and it was an inside thing. I don't know. You know, again, that's a bombshell right there. So the internal situation in Israel has got to be done with a
hold real it, bomb. Hang on. Whoa. Hang on. You can't drop a bomb like that. Mike Flynn, your former head of DIA, first national security advisor of President Trump, a revered figure globally. You're saying your sources are telling you on the investigation that they're trying to slow down and slow walk over there because we're coming up on the second anniversary of it. You're saying that you're hearing there's testimony or documents or actual evidence that certain elements of the Israeli military were told to stand down? Because I know from people I know, this is a very contentious area and it's going to be explosive. Are you hearing the same thing?
Steve, you can go back to interviews that I did like the next day and the following week.
That was
after
on InfoWars, by the way.
In multiple
that interview he's talking about was on InfoWars.
Where I said something went wrong, because Steve, I have personally walked that border. I have been down at those areas, and I know the details of how the Israelis, one of the most secure borders in the world, how they do their operations. So I know that. So something broke down and it wasn't because of mistakes. So that's number one. This internal machinations that are going on right now, what's going to have to happen? They're going to have to come to grips with this, because I'm going to tell you, the American people, they're getting tired of it. They're getting tired of this constant, you know, Israel. I mean, I'm the biggest fan. I have been to Israel many times. I have, you know, served alongside them. I have done things with them, certainly on the intelligence side. So I'm their biggest fan. But the American people are not. And the American people are so tired of all of the craziness and our involvement in these things.
You know, and here's another example. And General Flynn is right on here. But here's another example. Brian Mast puts this out, and he runs around Congress in an Israeli IDF uniform. He has Israeli flags everywhere. So he's one of them. And they're all making a big fuss over this Florida State deal where it's a little girl who gets into a tiff with a guy who has an IDF shirt on, which, by the way,
You know, can you imagine if somebody had a Free Palestine shirt on or a Hamas shirt on and a small Jewish girl came up and was like, how dare you? You're a terrorist. And then, you know, the dynamic would be in her favor if you reversed those circumstances. But, oh, this little girl has a trouble with a guy having ID. Oh, and now it's a national case. Anti-Semitism and has no place in the United States. Yeah, if you don't like Israel killing kids, you know, you're an anti-Semite. Whether it's in the halls of Congress or on college campus, I stand with Jewish students at Florida State. We must never back down on this kind of hate. It was a verbal argument for 30 seconds at a gym in college, and we're making a federal case out of this. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is a non-issue. Students getting $100,000 in student loan debt and then looking at the future and feeling totally depressed and crushed by it is a real issue. Am I saying we do student loan forgiveness? No. But I'm saying that's a real issue. This is not. And yet this is all you get is the garbage. All right, now we're almost out of time here, and I teased this story. So let me just try to do this quickly. And there's going to be more. Allegations surrounding GOP's Corey Mills go from bad to worse. Corey Mills leaps into another scandal, this time with a five-figure price tag and eviction notice. Now, you may remember that from last month. How he owed a bunch of money on this place. Now, that is not going to be over yet. U.S. Representative Corey Mills won't be evicted from his D.C. penthouse. Well, that's odd. So why? Who paid that bill, by the way? I'm telling you, that story's not going to go away. There's going to be some more developments there. I'll leave it at that for now. But so here's the big one that they've been sitting on for a minute, and now they're going live. Miss United States accuses Representative Corey Mills of sextortion, accepting money bags. She's also published some texts between the two that don't look good. Representative Corey Mills accused of threatening to release nude videos of ex-girlfriend Lindsay Langston, former Miss United States. Miss United States filing restraining order against GOP Representative Corey Mills. Now, can you imagine, folks, how crazy this is? And again, I don't think that penthouse story is going away. Think Madison Cawthorn. But imagine you're a sitting member of Congress and you got some issue with your ex-girlfriend because apparently he was dating a bunch of girls and she's not the only one, by the way. And I've talked to some others that know this story well. Obviously, that's how I teased it was coming a month ago. But, imagine you're a sitting member of Congress and you're trying to blackmail your ex-girlfriend over sharing of a nude video. How are you? What's your plan there, bud? You're going to leak a nude video of your ex-girlfriend as a sitting member of Congress, and you think that's a good look for you? So this is just the beginning of this story now, and it hasn't really gone well with them trying to put this deal out, and now the penthouse is still running. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, that does it for today. Oh, new South Park tonight, guys. What do you think we're going to see tonight?
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. and so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.